miles of black ribbon on the lone highway. Men turn into boys on the lone highway. Rest up creeps die on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Honey, on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is Saturday, April 3rd, 2021. And welcome to the free range open air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are living in a clown world without limits. A synthetic world where the bigger the lie, the more likely it is to be believed. And, you know, people really are more likely to believe a big lie than a small one. Tell a big lie and keep repeating it, and it will become the truth. One of the pillars of modern propaganda. And a very accurate observation about human nature. Yes, a very accurate observation about human nature. And, you know, partly why this works is because the big lie is outside the framework of most people's understanding, you know, of their worldview. And, you know, most people tend to lie about little things, you know, little white lies, you know, little lies designed to avoid conflict or preventing the individual from looking like an idiot at times. And because of this, I think most people assume that, you know, that's the behavior of everyone else. And this is why, partly why, the sociopaths, the parasitic elite, are able to do their work so easily. Because we assume that other people behave like us or similar to us. It's just part of human nature and part of our own individual blind spot, isn't it? But guys, this is simply not the case. And one very interesting thing that Eustace Mullins reveals in his book, The Curse of Canaan, a book I highly recommend reading. One of the things that he reveals in that book is that there really is a group of people who operate on a completely different moral framework from that of most people. In fact, it's a framework that is essentially the polar opposite of most people's perception of reality. And that's why the concept of the big lie works so well. It's so far outside of our individual understanding. And here's a short quote from Mullins, The Curse of Canaan. The Canaanites themselves, the people of this land, became the greatest curse upon humanity, and so they remain today. Not only did they originate the practices of demon worship, occult rites, child sacrifice, and cannibalism. But as they went abroad, they brought these obscene practices with them into every land which they entered. Not only did they bring this demonic cult to Egypt, but known by their later name, the Phoenicians, as they were called after 1200 BC, they became the demanders of civilization through a successive epochs, being known in medieval history as the Venetians, who destroyed the great Byzantine Christian civilization, and later as the Black Nobility, which infiltrated the nations of Europe and gradually assumed power through trickery, revolution, and financial legerdemain. Legerdemain is a good word. It just essentially means magic tricks or deception. So, you know, I don't want to go too deep into biblical history or philosophy here, but Canaan, the man who the land and the people, the Canaanites, were named after, he left a will for his heirs. Yes, a will for his heirs. And believe me, this is a very secretive document, a very secretive little bit of information. And guess what, guys? There's only one place in the world where this document can be found, and that is the Babylonian Talmud. And here's what it says, the will of Canaan. Five things did Canaan charge his sons: love one another, love robbery, love lewdness, hate your masters, and do not speak the truth. And that's from the Babylonian Talmud, Pesachim 113b. Yeah. Love one another, love robbery, love lewdness, hate your masters, and do not speak the truth. Think about that, guys. Talk about a moral code that's diametrically opposed to most people's thinking and most people's perception of reality. And really, you know, most people are unable to comprehend that such thinking not only exists, but that it is codified in a document. Amazing. So really, this explains a lot in regards to, you know, most people's blind spot regarding this kind of extreme behavior and an extreme belief system. And this behavior is now being implemented on a global scale. A global scale. Think about it. Think scamdemic or 9/11. The big lie, you know, and in regards to like the scamdemic, for example, most people would say they wouldn't lie about something like that. Come on, that's not possible. Well, they are. And yeah, you know, Mullins was really quite prophetic and a trailblazer. And I highly recommend reading his books, guys. You know, Murder by Injection, The New World Order, The Curse of Canaan. And, you know, all of those books are online. You can read them for free as a PDF. Just kind of do a little searching. They're on there. You know, just I prefer to do, might have a hard copy of all those books, but I don't like to read a whole book online. I prefer just to print it out and put it in a folder, read it, you know. But perhaps the most important book that Mullins ever wrote was his very first book, the 1952 book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And think about it, guys. Writing a book on the Federal Reserve in 1952. What a revolutionary act that was. Because believe me, in 1952, very few people knew anything about the Federal Reserve or who runs it or the enormous power that institution wields. A truly revolutionary book, no question about it. And the story of how this book came to be is also an amazing one. Because, you know, it was the world famous poet Ezra Pound who set Mullins upon this task of writing a book about the Federal Reserve. Yes, Ezra Pound. One of the most influential writers of the 20th century. And not only because of his body of work, but for the amazing influence this man had on some of the most famous writers of his generation. And the number of people that Pound influenced is too long to give a full list here, but just as an example, four of his proteges have been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature: William Butler Yeats for his poetry, James Joyce for Ulysses, a masterwork for certain, Ernest Hemingway for The Sun Also Rises, and T.S. Eliot, The Waste of Land. All four of these guys were proteges of Ezra Pound and greatly influenced by him. And in fact, you know, Hemingway later wrote in 1934 that, quote, any poet in this century or in the last 10 years of the preceding century who can honestly say that he has not been influenced or greatly learned from the works of Ezra Pound deserves to be pitied rather than rebuked. It as if a prose writer born in that time should not have learned from or been influenced by James Joyce, or that a traveler should pass through a great blizzard and not felt the cold, or pass through a sandstorm and not have felt the wind and the sand. That's quite lofty praise for Ezra Pound coming from Ernest Hemingway. And of course, the logical question is to ask, well, why have so few people heard of Ezra Pound today? Truly one of the giants of literature and a mentor to many, many great writers. James Joyce and Ernest Hemingway. Not bad. And the answer for Ezra Pound's disappearance from history, essentially, really lies in World War II and its aftermath. And because of the political forces that came to power after the war, Ezra Pound has essentially been written out of history despite his great accomplishments. And I'll tell you, you know, if you look at some of Pound's work, it's the work of a genius, an absolute genius. And it's the kind of stuff that, you know, you don't just, you know, whip your way through it. You have to read it very slowly and spend time contemplating what he is saying to even grasp, you know, the meaning of his writing. It's the kind of stuff that really makes you think. And of course, that kind of process is not in vogue today, is it? Quite the opposite. So anyway, Ezra Pound, you know, moved to Italy in 1924. And during the 1930s, he became involved in Mussolini's political theories and Italian fascism. And of course, we're all programmed to think, oh my gosh, how terrible. How terrible. And, you know, I think Mussolini and Hitler are certainly up for debate as historical figures. But this knee-jerk reaction we're supposed to have, like, oh no, how terrible. That's all programming put there by our masters. But think about it. Could the world be in a worse position than it is now? You know, I mean, think about that. Is that possible that we could be in a worse position in this world than we are right now? It's hard to imagine a worse position if, say, the other side had won the war, or if there had been no war at all in the first place. And, you know, Pound even met Mussolini. And by all accounts, Mussolini was quite taken with Ezra Pound. And they discussed economic theory and literature. Pound was very interested in economic theory because that is sort of the master key to what runs this world, isn't it? At least on a physical level. And of course, Ezra Pound lived through World War I. And as he studied the history of World War I, he realized that World War I, or as they called it then, the Great War, could not have been possible without the power of fractional reserve banking, central banks, and usury. It couldn't have happened. And he realized that was the root cause for this pointless war that they call World War I now. And Pound also realized that it was the Jewish money powers behind these banks that had such a huge influence on the world. And when the war broke out, Ezra Pound began doing shortwave radio broadcasts from Italy in English. And these broadcasts were really aimed towards America, England, and in the West. And I've listened to quite a few of these broadcasts. I'm really trying to find a good archive for all of them. But unfortunately, they're not very good audio quality because, for one thing, they're from shortwave radio and they're just old. I'd play some of them on the air, but they're just too, I don't think they'd come through well, and it wouldn't be, you know, interesting for the listener to not understand a clip. But many of these broadcasts, from what I've seen, were essentially a desperate plea to the West not to engage in war against Germany or Italy. And it was essentially a dire warning as to the consequences of the war, a dire warning. And, you know, I'll just read a few little excerpts that I found interesting. A couple little short ones here. On the subject of democracy, Ezra Pound said that democracy is now currently defined in Europe as a country run by Jews. Interesting thought there, isn't it? And he discussed the essential fairness of Hitler's war aims. And he said that Winston Churchill was a senile front for the Rothschilds. Certainly true. Certainly true. And Pound also tried to explain to the world the power of central banking and loan capital and the concept of fractional reserve banking to the world. He tried to warn the world of this power. And it really is the ultimate power. It's a power greater than armies in some ways. And here's a little quote from him. International Wandering Loan Capital. Your enemy is not Germany. Your enemy is money on loan. And it would be better to be infected with typhus than to be infected with this blindness, which prevents you from understanding how we are undermined. The big Jew is so bound up in this lie capital that no one is able to unscramble the omelet. And lie capital is just German for loan capital. So really, he was trying to warn Americans, the English, and Europe about the covert forces that controlled the institutions of the world. And, you know, prophetic words and a prophetic warning. And really, if you look at the situation we are in now today, the march of time really has vindicated Ezra Pound for those who are willing to see it and go beyond the emotional knee-jerk reactions we're supposed to have. Yeah, Snippets is pointing out Elizabeth Dilling, another great one. Yes, another great writer. She really exposed the, let's say, the influences on Roosevelt. She got some great books. I believe some of her books are on PDF too, if you just search around for them. And on the subject of Roosevelt, Pound claimed that Roosevelt represents Jewry, and he called Roosevelt Jewsfelt or Stinky Rosenstein. That's kind of funny. And again, you know, Pound is vindicated by history because there's no question Roosevelt's administration was rife with communists, globalists, and an undue amount of Jewish Zionist interests. No question about that. And Pound also made it clear in his broadcast that, quote, I am not anti-Semitic. I distinguish between the Jew usurer and the Jew who does an honest day's work for a living. So this isn't about hate towards anyone. And during this time, Pound did a lot of writing as well. He's a very prolific writer. He wrote over 1,000 letters during this time, during the war, to friends and magazines and publications. In Oswald Mosley's newspaper called Action, he wrote that, quote, the English were a slave race governed by the House of Rothschild since Waterloo. And that was not designed to be a strike against the English people because Pound lived in England for many years. But it's certainly true if you look into the history of Waterloo and what that did. It really consolidated Rothschild's power. And of course, unfortunately for Ezra Pound, these broadcasts were monitored by the United States Foreign Broadcast Monitoring Service. And on July 26, 1943, he was indicted in absentia for treason. For treason. So much for free speech. If you're not on board with the war, it's treason. Look at the history of World War I, too. So many dissenters that were against that war were put into prison and actually deported from the country. Wilson was an absolute tyrant. So anyway, just skipping forward, at the end of the war, Pound was arrested in Italy in 1944. And what's amazing is when he was arrested, the only things he took with him were four Confucian textbooks that he was reading. Pound translated quite a bit of Confucius' work. He was fascinated by Confucian philosophy. So he grabbed four Confucian textbooks and an English-Chinese dictionary and brought them with him to Allied headquarters upon his arrest. That's amazing. And Pound, naively, wanted to make a final broadcast called The Ashes of Europe Calling. The Ashes of Europe Calling. What a great title. Of course, he was not allowed to do that. And, you know, Pound spent 3 weeks in a 6x6 outdoor cage with no protection from the sun, in total isolation, sleeping on concrete, was not allowed exercise or communication with anyone. And these cages were lit up at night with floodlights all night. Certainly torture by any stretch of the imagination, or by any definition, torture. Absolutely. And during this time, Pound began writing while he was locked up in this cage. He started writing the Paizan Cantos on toilet paper. And there's even some scraps of this that are in the archives, written in pencil. So imagine the dedication and passion it took to start writing under those conditions, as he was being baked in the hot Italian sun with no shade. So anyway, Pound arrived in D.C. He was taken back to D.C. in November 1945, 2 days before the beginning of the Nuremberg trials. Yeah, just 2 days before the Nuremberg trials. And he was arraigned on November 27 on charges of treason. On charges of treason, facing the death penalty. And according to Eustace Mullins in his book, This Difficult Individual, Ezra Pound, published in 1967, and that book is also a PDF online, This Difficult Individual, Ezra Pound. According to Mullins, Pound was forced to plea insanity because it was made very clear to him if he didn't plea insanity, he would be executed for treason. And of course, if you read any mainstream sources on Pound, they all pretty much imply strongly that, you know, Pound was essentially crazy and deserved to be locked up. But what's interesting is while he was at St. Elizabeth's, and he spent 13 years there, 13 years locked up. And of course, you know, the Soviet Union perfected this art of locking up political dissidents and declaring them insane. Very interesting, the parallels there. But while he was locked up, he finished the Paizan Cantos, and he was awarded the first Bulingen Prize, which was a new national poetry award with a $1,000 prize donated by the Mellon family. And this prize came through the Library of Congress. But isn't it interesting that a man who was supposedly crazy was able to write an award-winning body of work while locked up in a mental hospital? It doesn't really add up, does it, guys? Yeah. And of course, when Pound was given this award, there was an uproar. The cancel culture was already in existence at that time. Of course, not to the degree it is now. And it's funny, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette quoted critics who said that poetry cannot convert words into maggots that eat at human dignity and still be good poetry. Amazing. And the president of the Poetry Society of America, Robert Hillier, attacked the award and said that he never saw anything to admire, not one line in Pound. And of course, Congressman Jacob Javits demanded an investigation into the award committee. And that was the last time the Library of Congress administered a prize. Ezra Pound received the only one. And of course, those of you out there probably know that Jacob Javits was responsible for the 1965 immigration bill, along with Ted Kennedy. An immigration bill that forever changed the structure of American immigration to this very day. And it removed the preference for European immigrants. That's what it did. In fact, it reversed it. And it forever changed America. There's no question about that. 1965, Jacob Javits and Ted Kennedy. By their fruits, you shall know them, right? And of course, the Javits Center is, you know, named after this guy and played a major part in the COVID hoax agenda in Washington, D.C. And, you know, while Pound was in St. Elizabeth's Hospital for 13 years, he declined to speak with Jewish psychiatrists. And he came up with a little name for him. He called him Kikiatrists. Well, at least he kept his sense of humor while he was locked up. And many of these Jewish psychiatrists said that Pound was suffering from delusions of grandeur and that he was insane. But think about it, guys. Is a man really suffering from delusions of grandeur if he really was one of the most influential men of literature in his time? Is that someone suffering from delusions of grandeur? Interesting to contemplate, isn't it? And Pound advised his visitors to read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which, of course, is claimed to be a hoax document. But if it's a hoax, it sure was accurate. If you ever read that, it's hard to say, oh, this, none of this has happened. That's, you know, a bunch of BS. No, it's all happened. Incredibly accurate, no matter the origins of it. And Pound was convinced that there was a Jewish communist plot, which he compared to syphilis. And he said that there was no gas ovens in Italy or Germany. So this guy was ahead of his time. He had that all figured out back in the early 1950s. So anyway, back to Mullins. At this time, Mullins was working at the Library of Congress as a clerk, and he was introduced to Ezra Pound through a friend. And at the time, Mullins was only 25 years old, a young man. And once they developed a friendship, Pound urged him to write a book about the Federal Reserve System. And he began paying him $10 a week to help him fund his efforts. So again, Ezra Pound had a profound influence on Eustace Mullins, a great writer in his own realm. And here's just a short quote from Mullins on the origins of his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Quote, although this book in its inception was expected to be a torturous work on economic and monetary techniques, it soon developed into a story of such universal and dramatic appeal that from the outset, Ezra Pound urged me to write it as a detective story, a genre which was invented by my fellow Virginian, Edgar Allan Poe. And I believe that the continuous circulation of this book during the last 40 years has not only exonerated Ezra Pound for his much condemned political and monetary statements, but it will also be one of the ultimate weapons against the powerful conspirators who compelled him to serve 13 years without trial as a political prisoner in an insane asylum a la KGB. Wow. And finally, in 1958, all charges were dropped against Pound and he was released. So that's the story of how Ezra Pound influenced some of the greatest writers of the earliest 20th century, was written out of history, and then convinced a young writer by the name of Eustace Mullins to write a book on the Federal Reserve. And interestingly enough, you know, Secrets of the Federal Reserve is the only book that was burned in Germany after the regime of Adolf Hitler. In 1955, this German guy, Guido Roeder, bought the entire German edition, 10,000 books, and these books were seized by the government. And the burning of the book was upheld in April 1961 by Judge Israel Katz of the Bavarian Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court refused to intervene. So that's quite an honor. The only book to have been burned in modern Germany, Eustace Mullins' book on the Federal Reserve. Yeah. What an incredible story that is of a great man and a literary genius and one of the most influential men of the 20th century in terms of literature. And really, this man put everything on the line to try and warn the world about what was coming. What a story. Well, that said, I would like to bring on my co-host, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals, a very brave man, a man who was bad to the bone and always ready to reveal the truth. Giuseppe, how you doing, man?
I'm living the dream, man. Just another day of living the dream.
And also with us is Chris Weinert.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Giuseppe, hey, you really sound enthusiastic there, man.
Yep. It starts to wear down a person.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Definitely. Well, how you guys? Chris, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. Good, man. Hey, you had some great intro remarks there, man. Some good stuff really got me thinking.
Right.
Man, Mullins is something else, man. That guy really was on point with a lot of stuff. And I've been looking into a lot of stuff you're talking about. And I think World War I was really a point of trying to dissociate Germany from controlling trade in the Balkans and even from getting them off the unified gold standard, which they put on after the War of 1871 in Prussia. So this is kind of a thing. They went off the gold standard in 1914, mysteriously, right? And then they were conquered by the Allied forces, put into the punitive measures at Versailles. And, of course, you know, led to the Weimar Republic, you know, after the failure of the Dawes and the Young's plans. Basically, the Great Depression happened because most of the markets were based on speculation. And really, I think that they were crashed intentionally to bring in the Jew deal, which put in favorable conditions for the mainstream media, the Hollywood apparatus, the military industrial complex, you know what I mean? The big bankers, all this stuff. So it's amazing to see them really go to work on the educational institutions and even the food supply. So Yeah, I mean, when you really follow the money and follow these robber barons, it's amazing, you know, to see this. And Ezra Pound, I think, was kind of an insider amongst the aristocracy, and I think he went rogue, and that's probably why they did what they did to him, because he was really calling out a lot of major powerhouses that were supposedly not to be even mentioned in terms of the gentleman's agreement. So, yeah, it's amazing stuff there, Dave. You really got me thinking, and great call on citing out to Ezra Pound, because he was truly something else.
Oh, yeah, a great man, and a man who's been written out of history, you know, and yeah, also I think another reason for World War One was the breakup of the Ottoman Empire, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Without question. And Germany and the Ottoman Empire actually had a trade that was going on there for a while, the Baghdad to Berlin Railway. So that's like right. Kind of a one belt, one road thing that they didn't want going through Germany. They wanted being run through the British, and they really wanted to dissociate Europe from the Austrian school of economics and going to like the Keynesian-ish type London school of economics, where they mobilize credit and debt instead of sound banking and sound money systems. So really they were trying to dissociate. Britain's transferred over to the gold standard, but they couldn't afford to keep it, and they really were bankrupt. The citizens were like so broke. There was just such a tale of two cities in England in the 18 and 1900s. It was truly disgusting. Ezra Pound was nailing it, calling these guys slaves. And really, they're doing it here in America. They're turning America into slaves, because these are British and foreign interests, Israeli interests that are running our banking institutions, our educational institutions, our TV, our media, our social media. You know, this is crazy. You know, our military. Our banking. Yeah, and it all starts from the Fed, like you say, man. It's the Ponzi scheme of the generation. And every generation, they come with a new Ponzi scheme. And I think that they're trying to put us on crypto, because that's the next step of full total control, like technocratic.
And once you go crypto, once you go digital, all the rules are out the window. They can literally do without whatever they want without any limitations. And you know, Tara in the chat room at Revolution Radio is saying psychiatrists prescribe quaxines. And of course, once I hear quaxine, I gotta bring on Giuseppe. What are your thoughts, man?
Yes, I created that term. You know, one thing you guys aren't taking into account with World War One is how the vile Talmudic parasites tried to get the New World Order, one central world bank in the late 19th century, and they were cock-blocked by Germany with Kaiser Wilhelm and the Prime Minister Bismarck. And then by Russia with Tsar Nicholas. And so the Satanists swore a blood feud against both those countries, and they ramped it up so they could literally gut Russia via Bolshevism, which is a communist Jew communist cancer, and created, you know, the world's thuggery, including the United States, to attack Germany. So don't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, these are the guys that failed with the Civil War, and then they've tried to bring this thing on, like you're saying. Yeah, and then, like you say, the Fed coming into place conveniently, the income tax law coming in 1916, the Sedition Acts coming in under Wilson, the Palmer Raids going on, the anarchist thing. You know something, Dave? I was remembering Ezra Pound, I think, was in Madrid when King Alfonso had an attempted assassination on him. He got blown up. His horses got blown up in his marriage entourage or whatever. He had like a horse-drawn carriage or whatever, and somebody threw a bouquet of flowers with a bomb in it, and Ezra Pound was standing right there when that thing blew up, man. He saw some pretty crazy stuff go on. Like, this is like in 1906 or something. So, like, I mean, there he was through some interesting stuff. You know, he was in the thick of things, not only in the salons that were pumping out the literature going into World War One that was really like the way they steered society. That was like the Hollywood of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like these literal salons, these guys control the culture.
Yeah. And good points, Chris. And it's amazing too, how Pound tried to warn the world of the power of fractional reserve banking and central banking, and how these forces covertly controlled the world. And his great reward is being locked up in a mental hospital for 13 years. And, you know, you brought up a great point about the Sedition Acts and the Palmerston Raids, and how, you know, this Woodrow Wilson was an absolute tyrant. World War One was not a popular thing at all. There was lots of resistance to it. You don't hear much about that. And, you know, Wilson put journalists in jail. He put politicians in jail. I mean, he's only
He ran Prohibition too. Like, he started that whole mobster era, if you think about that as well, because like the aristocracy was basically running out all the independent distillers and forcing them into a black market bootleg thing that was run through these gangsters. And these are the same gangsters that they were using to control the media in previous generations in like these neighborhoods, these tough areas like New York and Chicago and many places like this. These kids were mostly orphans or immigrants' children, and they were brought into like gang mafias as children. First of all, because they couldn't be prosecuted as adults. Second of all, because they could be used to not only deliver media and newspapers and things like that, but thirdly, so they can sabotage or undermine or report to the higher ups, the gangsters of the adult age of anybody that was putting out newspapers that were not supposed to be in the front of the newsstand. Now, this is how guys like Annenberg and many of these other Pulitzer, many of these guys got the prominence. What's the other ones? I'm thinking of Hearst. Yeah, they used to put these thugs out there and send them to newsstands, and basically they would narc on anybody that was putting their competitors' newspapers in front of their own, and then they would send the mobsters in and beat the hell out of these newsstand owners.
Yeah, and look at the result of Prohibition. We really ended up with a virtual monopoly on the control of liquor. A handful of families, most notably the Bronfmans, really run the whole shebang, so to speak. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts, man?
I think that, did I ever tell you guys, I think I told the story that I would have been, my family would have been the mafia kingpins of Milwaukee had my Sicilian Nanu back in the 30s agreed to use the bleach factory trucks to go up to Canada and bring down the booze during Prohibition. But he turned it down and several of his friends turned it down, and the Ballesteros jumped on it, and they became the mafia kingpins of Milwaukee.
Wow, that's wild, man! Bleach trucks, man. That's really cool that you have that kind of family background, man. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, when I was a little
boy. Hey, Dave, you know,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, man. Oh, Dave, I'm sorry. I was going to say, hey, another point I wanted to make to your World War One thing. They were trying out these chemical weapons as well as the machine guns. That was another innovation they wanted to get on and try out in Europe. Sorry to interrupt you, man.
Well, the tank was the huge innovation.
Yeah, the tank, absolutely. All this stuff, yes, absolutely. Cavalry, as we know it, is completely out the window. This is like Patton and Eisenhower and MacArthur. They all trained in this new tactic. That was like the new innovation of the time. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Giuseppe.
Well, at the beginning of World War One, they were still trying to use the cavalry, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't last long, of course.
Exactly. But no, that's it. That's wild stuff, though. Like I said, the chem warfare, the trench warfare, the machine guns, all this stuff, it was an absolute slaughterhouse. And most of the carnage led to the disease and plague outbreaks. And then they come in with the vaccination programs, and most of these soldiers were vaccinated. And like, this is the outbreak that they call the Spanish flu. And I think during the war, that same king that was almost assassinated got or almost won the Nobel Prize, but lost it to the Rothschild's Red Cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And isn't it interesting how this this Jacob Javits character was so, you know, upset with Pound winning an award from the Library of Congress that they actually stopped, no more awards because Jacob Javits said so. He doesn't like it. And then look at his great legacy, this 1965 Immigration Act that he passed with Ted Kennedy that forever changed the face of America.
Well, you know, Ted Kennedy wasn't really the driving force. It was the older liberals, Eugene McCarthy and the dude from Minnesota who ran for president. I can't think of his name. McGovern. They were more of a driving force than Kennedy on that. Ted.
True.
Kennedy,
wow. Yeah.
Ted Kennedy was just a backbencher then in the early 60s.
Yeah.
The, you know, what's interesting about, shoot. I started looking at Lord Ha Ha, and I lost it. Sorry.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, well. I guess to go in a different direction, it's I remember what it was. Is you know, Javits was a total Jewy Jew, just like Nadler is today.
Man. I was going to ask that. Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to say I thought he was totally an Irishman for sure by the name.
Yeah, maybe he was Irishman, South Korean.
Yeah. Yeah. South Korean. He's definitely one of the Chi-Coms.
Yeah. Go ahead, Giuseppe. Go ahead.
Oh, but it's interesting that, you know, you go back in the history of this nation And the guy who started the New York Stock Exchange was a Dutch fella. He said, "Don't let the Jews have any part of this. Block them from this." And when for a while there, the Jews could have nothing to do with it. And you know, through from then on, there's always a warning: don't let these satanic malignancy in anything. They'll eat away like the cancer they are, and nobody listens. Right? It's just unbelievable.
That's how they ran the Great Depression in the way that they did. The people that they wanted to pull ahead, the insider houses that became, you know, that rose to prominence and like doubled their wealth and more in the 1930s because of this depression. Most of them were like Jewish financial houses that were isolated exactly. from the normal traditional houses of finance. So, you know, they were all supposedly infiltrated by Rothschild branches, but the Jewish branch, like the Lehman, the Solomon brothers, all these Goldman Sachs, all these guys that rose to prominence from this, they were truly sinister what they were doing and putting themselves in such a position of power to exploit things like the New Deal or the Great Society. You know, if we think of C. Dillon Reed and like what Catherine Nussen Fitz talks about and how much money they took from just like HUD and these type of things, you know, there's like $50 trillion, the total between military and HUD that they've yanked from the American people, absolute wealth that could probably come in handy right now for people that are getting kicked out of their houses.
Well, you know, it's the listeners of Revolution Radio and our followers over on the simulcast are savvy people. But I will say this anyway, most already know it, that the Great Depression was engineered by the Jew. There's just no doubt about that.
The Judeo-Masonic order. Yeah. No doubt. Without question. Look at Joe Kennedy. He made so much money from that thing. And he was put in charge of the SEC and like – that's like Fox in charge of the hen house, like they're doing now with like putting BlackRock in charge of the Treasury with FASB 56 or some of these other measures that are signed in an executive order, like literally the 08 bailout till now. I think BlackRock's held more control over the Treasury than probably the president or even some of the people that are supposedly elected by Congress or the Fed to do this. And it's all like a den of vipers, man. These guys are all so corrupt. They're all part of this, you know, cabal. And you know, they're screwing us left and right. It's crazy.
Since tomorrow's Easter, a great Catholic holiday, and Christian as well, but the Catholics really jump on it, is did you ever think about Joe Kennedy, the amount of immense power he wielded, and he actually was able to work with organized crime to turn the election and get his son in office, and he thought that he had fucked that he had really won the lottery. And then all of a sudden his son pretty much turns on all the people that Joe, the oligarchic criminals that Joe Kennedy rubbed elbows with and was actually – did you ever think about why that was? I have a theory, which is Joe Kennedy had a voracious sexual appetite, and he would bring in his whores even to his mansion when he working out of it, and everybody was just supposed to ignore that Joe needed to pop a nut almost every day, and he was really, really out in the open about it. But his mother, Kennedy's mother, Rose Kennedy, actually raised the kids, and she raised them to be old school liberal Catholics. And so when Kennedy got in power, what had really imprinted him was his mother, not his father.
Yeah. Interesting. The story goes too that Joe Kennedy took young John Kennedy to a whorehouse, like at age 13 or age 14, really young, to get him started. Yeah.
And he wasn't chosen. The chosen was Joe Kennedy Jr. who died in that flight. Yeah.
World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shot down World War II. Hey, what I was going to say, Dave, is the Joe Kennedy was also one of the many people, the insiders that were involved, not only, like you said, with the mafia, but also with legitimate organized Wall Street money, let's just say, big bank money, old money, trust money. And also this thing that they had going on, like it was a political blackmail slash extortion tactic where they had their sexual proclivities. Most of these people are like sexual super predators that are put in politics, and they're all part of this inner guild of like this this hedonist club, this, I don't even know what you call it, but like Franklin and all these guys were in it. The founding fathers, a lot of them were in it. A lot of these guys in the inner circles are in it. Like the Palfrey family going back to the Harvard Divinity School in the 1600s started these type of things. And like her daughter, like Deborah Palfrey ran these type of things in the 1990s. You remember the DC Madam? These are the same bloodlines, the same families, the same folks that are in this type of thing. It is, goes back to like Rome with the minnows and the bathhouses. These guys are part of this perversion. This mm-hmm. It's something with compromising these young kids at the innocent age, and they base them like by the sexual based, trauma based mind control, and they control right. them. They can turn a man into a boy with like a keyword or a thing, a trigger or a fulcrum. No joke. And this is something that they condition into people.
Right.
And it's like rearing of kings. It's a very similar type of procedure. And yeah. I have to say, they do it now with the noble and the aristocracy, which these people technically are. They're blood.
Yeah. Right. Well, guys, we burned through this first hour really quick. Great discussion. And, you know, in just a few minutes, we're going to bring on Solaris Blue Raven, a one of the great hosts here at Revolution Radio, and someone that her knowledge base, I continue to be impressed more and more every time I talk to her or hear one of her shows. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and maybe we'll get a little bit out there for the next couple hours with Stellaris. So, okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio, hour number two. And for the next couple of hours, we're going to be talking with one of the great hosts from Revolution Radio, I believe, and someone that I continue to be more and more impressed by the more I hear her shows and her perspective on this world and in other worlds, Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris, how are you doing?
I am well. Thank you for having me. It's good to see everybody and hear all your voices.
Great. Yeah. I've been looking forward to this conversation. And you know, just before we came back on air, we were kind of just chatting about, you know, Colorado and how much it's changed. And, you know, I have friends in Colorado, and all of them are just amazed that this governor was elected. They can't believe this governor was elected. You know, open homosexual with a young boyfriend or husband, whatever. And just someone that's sort of the antithesis of at least all the people in rural Colorado. And I was just going to ask you, what do you think changed in Colorado? And do you think that this is the result of some kind of election tinkering?
I think it's election tinkering for sure. And also there's been a huge, huge shift. I mean, insofar as other people moving from other states, including California, that have moved here and with the same mentality. So you're dealing with people that have kind of infiltrated the area to such a degree that you've got this going on. But he's extremely wealthy, this guy. And to me, I think he can buy his way into any position of power and the illusion of power. He also, you know, people, they're really kind of jaded and had a vendetta against the president, President Trump in the past. And I think that they've been holding the states hostage, and literally they don't care as long as they can get away with their agenda. So it's really a shame, because I used to really love this state. I thought it was a beautiful state, and it still is pretty, but we have so many problems now, and it doesn't need to be this way. So yeah, poor management and literally people who probably shouldn't have been there to begin with.
Yeah. And it's, you know, Colorado is an example of, you know, one of these states where, you know, two or three cities, the big cities essentially run the political machinery of the state, and all the rural voters are essentially disenfranchised. And, you know, you were saying earlier that, you know, all the Californians have moved to Colorado. And you know, I think that's true. And, you know, that process sort of first started to Oregon in like the 1970s. I remember when I was a little kid living in Oregon, there was a bumper sticker that was really popular that said, "Don't Californicate Oregon." And Californians were sort of unwelcome. And then, you know, this process is happening now in Idaho and in Nevada. Just Nevada is being flooded by Californians now because of the draconian laws and the high cost of living.
Right. Yeah. That's what my producer has been telling me. She's in Vegas. So yeah, all kinds of weird going on that level. And to me, it's just like, you know, I don't recognize this country anymore, obviously. It is becoming a third world disaster. It used to be a superpower. It is not a superpower. I don't care what anybody says about it. In my opinion, it's completely infiltrated and on a self-destruct sequence, which we've made a lot of enemies. So that is not good.
That's a good point. And, you know, they always say America is the most wealthy country that's ever existed. I don't believe that that's true anymore, especially when America is sitting on the biggest debt the world has ever known. And, you know, on the first hour, we sort of were discussing a little bit about, you know, Jacob Javits and this immigration bill that he helped pin and really push through, which forever changed the face of America, essentially taking away the preference to bring in European immigrants, completely getting rid of that and saying, hey, let's bring in people from all corners of the globe, no matter whether or not they have any, you know, connection to Western culture or America. It doesn't matter. Come on in. But we don't want too many Europeans coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a war on the white European. I've said that before. You know, the white is the new unicorn, in a sense it's becoming a rarity and an extraordinary type of a species.
Yeah.
To some degree, very hunted for the horn, you know. So, yeah, it's happening. I mean, there's a lot weird going on here, and I've always navigated to a higher level, because if you stay in that cesspool, it's just going to bring you down. It's just going to pull you in and completely destroy you. But I do see this. What surprises me the most is that it's been allowed. You know, like I said, I'm really, really in awe of the fact that they've been able to get away with so much. And I'm, you know, like I said, the military is worthless. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a real fantasy thing. Yeah. That the military is going to come save us with the white hats. It's not going to happen.
Oh.
You know, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And anyway, let's get Giuseppe and then Chris in on this, man. Giuseppe, go ahead.
Solaris, it's so wonderful to have you on a show again and get to chit chat. What are your thoughts when you say navigate to the higher level? I mean, I've been spending an hour or two a day meditating and getting rid of all this. What can people do to detach from this literal dark, malevolent attack on their very way of life?
Well, it has to be connected to movement insofar as where they are strategically on the map. That's one thing. Second, atmosphere condition, relationships, work environment, and moving away from the things that are pulling them down, in my opinion, anyway. But also on the path of spirit, if you're meditating and doing things that are raising your vibration or state of consciousness is really what it boils down to, then that's really where it needs to be. Because with that brings clarity, and with clarity brings a new direction and a new awakening in a sense of where we need to go. I've talked about the breakaway societies before and the starseed breakaways or cosmic beings, whatever you want to call it. But the bottom line is there are going to be breakaways. People are not going to sit here into one conformed unit of crap. It's just not going to happen. So we're dealing with different species, different breakaways. And remember the DNA code I've touched on before, which is, you know, it's very vast when it comes down to our cosmic heritage. And people need to be reminded of that more and more.
Excellent.
Hey, do you think that they're doing some sort of haplo-targeting thing, not only with the accumulation of biometric data, but also like biological data from the Rockefeller Board of Medicine? Well, they've been doing the heel prick test on any baby that's ever born in a hospital there and taking a sample of their blood for the last 100 years, to my knowledge, and holding it for 100 years, as far as I'm concerned, or known, at least in the state of Michigan. So what do you think they got going on here? Do you think it's just an innocuous coincidence? I mean, you always hear other things, even like, say, the abortion argument. You never hear about what they're doing with these aborted fetuses, or when you do, right, it's sensationalized or gaslit or you know, turn into some sort of a far-lit, you know, grim appraisal of the situation, something that is just radicalized or made to look ridiculed, we'll just say. Mm-hmm. And the media that's doing this type of stuff not only is – covering up these type of crimes, but really misdirecting the conversation and really the big picture of what's going on here. Because, you know, you really hear these precision arguments that are ascribed to one side or the other of the political spectrum. And like you say, the breakaway society is not only aware of what's going on, but can see through this, knows the big picture, and then is watching this thing. And it's almost like kids fighting in a back seat where, you know, mm-hmm. you just want to pull the car over and spank them. I don't know what else you can really do at this point, you know, other than to either walk away or to just shake people out of the fugue state. But, you know, this really seems to be going on everywhere, and it seems to be an indoctrinated, conditioned, socially engineered operation. How do you break out of this matrix or this loop of servitude and really, you know, expand your conscious awareness, not only of the situation, but to work so your energy is going towards something productive?
Right.
You know, how do you really, you know, I feel like I'm hurting cats out here, and maybe I'm going at it the whole wrong way. But do you have any advice for me or others that are maybe interested in trying to make the world a truly a better place? Not the shit these billionaires are telling you when they say make the world a better place.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about an actual better place.
Right. The better place would be removing of them. But, you know,
they're extinct anyway. Right, yeah, they want to let the population start with themselves.
That's you know, the types of – right. Yeah, the types of Nuremberg experimentation beyond Nuremberg, I said, is a war crime. It's a universal war crime. It's beyond social engineering. It's manipulation, body, mind, and spirit, weaponization of the brain, weaponization of information. Everything has been technologically skewed to accommodate their version of a false matrix. So you've got that going on. And in my opinion, you can only help so many people. You know, only so many people are going to get the message. They're going to get the data. So many people are going to have the courage to move on that data in the sense of just breaking away.
Some people don't seem to want to be helped. Right? Some people just don't.
No, they don't care.
They don't want to hear the truth.
No, they don't.
That's
true.
You know,
they're in denial basically, and I think they're programmed and very afraid. And the bottom line is, if they're completely entity controlled, there's no connection to their cosmic design work or source creation. Then they're empty insofar as if they don't have their handlers, they don't have that energy, they're lost. You know, they're floating adrift, and I think that's what they're afraid of. But they realize if you break orbit, you calibrate to the cosmic design. And you're able to navigate and integrate into the bigger spectrum of what really is going on, which is a beautiful divine blueprint. So I see that. But like I said before, I've lost hope in a sense of the mass collective is messed up, completely messed up from generations, decades and decades and decades. And over, in my opinion, manipulation, and even down to the genetic code to some degree. I think this isn't anything new with the RNA thing. I think, you know, obviously there's been experimentation. So you got that going on as well.
So, Lars, could you expand a little bit on entity control? To use that term, could you maybe go into that a little more? It's fascinating.
Yeah, the entity control is basically anything that's not connected to the higher self, oversoul, superconscious design, your divine ascension blueprint, who you really are as a spiritual ascended being, creator source, that connection. It's void of that. It's void of spirit. It's void of things that are divine. So it's empty. It's entity control, meaning electronic, sometimes something that's kind of like a host that'll attach onto the target or the, you know, they'll just attach on and integrate in and start communicating, whether it's through technology or whether it's through different various programs on a subconscious level. So people are being programmed, socially engineered, and that is what they have entity attachment or entity control. And there is no there's no cosmic design or thought process connected to consciousness.
And what the entity, where do you see this originating? What is the source of this entity, do you think?
I think it's mankind. It's the programming of man. It's how they've affected the hologram. Insofar as this particular world, when you're dealing with, I'm looking beyond the spectrum of things. So you're dealing with, excuse me, when you're programming something and the thought form is completely contaminated, then you're creating a distorted field. And this is where this comes from false belief systems, the type of belief systems that have been orbiting into and onto this world for a very, very long time. Now, whether that's based on religion or organized, whatever belief systems, to me, that is where the source of this problem is it's about belief systems and how they manifest it. How they use it as a control mechanism to literally manipulate the masses to such a degree and through fear and through manipulation and harm. So I see it like that. There's a lot of entities. Obviously, there's a lot of different types of species and this and that. But people put way too much emphasis on some boogeyman when, in fact, it's really mankind that needs to look in the mirror.
That's a good point. Very good point. It's about personal responsibility to some degree. People are digging your big workout right. bag in the background, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Giuseppe.
It's seen better days.
Well, that's good. Giuseppe, why don't you go ahead, man?
Definitely.
So, Solaris, what can people do? I mean, to me, you look at the three great dogmatic religions of the Abrahamic tradition. They all tell the individual to look beyond for guidance and for salvation, whereas in my beliefs, studying much older belief systems, you're like in the Taoism, you're taught to look within, and so to me, that's all a deception. Because if you look within, you quiet your mind, you meditate, you pray, whatever, you begin to initiate a connection with something that's so sublimely beautiful, there are no words, and yet. Most people have no idea to do that, and instead they're like, well, if I'll be a good person, I'll go to heaven. And it's like there is a global millennial mind rape going on that really seeks to prevent humanity from really embracing its real destiny, and they're doing a pretty damn good job of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's because of the false matrix. You know, when they're diving into information that's not accurate, and even when they're trying to do spiritual work, which is based on a lie, it's not going to get them very far. So, yeah, the answers are within, obviously, you know that, and many others. But the bottom line is accessing that information in that database. They haven't been taught. They haven't been taught. They're not willing to listen. And at this point, those of us who are teachers, whether you're healers or whatever you're doing on the timeline, that is a big deal. And people should be paying attention to that. with respect to each other and learning from each other, but they're not doing that. You know, and I'm not here to play this card and kumbaya everybody together. I'm just not. They either have it or they don't. Right. They either got it or they didn't. And they're either ready to go to the next level of their own psyche and consciousness, or they're going to flatline. That's where they're at.
So what I find fascinating about your two shows, the one on Friday nights, KCOR, and then Saturday night on Revolution Radio, is you pull in non-traditional people, you know, like Wiccan, witches, pagans, and then people who communicate with other entities and consciousness, other life forms. And all of that is pretty much in the mainstream media is kind of simplified, like E.T. go home kind of bullshit, you know, and there's so much more to all that. In fact, the infinite amount of dimensions, the fact that if you don't have some type of energetic protections, you're fed upon by these kind of entities. In fact, there's a guy who's talks a lot of shit named Gordon Duff. But one thing I did believe is when he was with the CIA, he said, you know, I was in a meeting and they basically said, matter of fact, like it's not even a shock that, yes, there are a series of different entities that feed on humanity and feed off the negative emotions. And that's just what they do. Like, you know, the newspapers deliver it every day. And that kind of stuff is just so how do you what am I trying to say here? How do you vet the people you bring on so that they're sincere, as opposed to much like the truth media, 6 out of 10 are paid by the CIA or the FBI, and how do you find the real truth in the fringe spirituality? I mean, I don't even want to call it fringe. That's the wrong word. In the actual spirituality, not the mainstream spirituality.
Well, first of all, the craft has been bastardized. So, you know, I have a background in craft. I know that, you know, some people may not like the witchcraft. I get it. But there is a background in that. So a lot of the people that I don't even have to vet them. I have a gnosis of understanding where they're coming from. A lot of the time I'll put them on my show. They have something to bring to the plate, whether it's a camaraderie to some level, or they're seekers too. They share information. They explore information, and they generate that information to the masses, the people that are listening. So for me, it's just a kind of like, I just have this radar where I can kind of attune myself to dial in on them and see if it's something that would be compatible to the people that are listening. I don't want to close anybody off for what they do or who they are. If they're way, way mainstream woo-woo, then that's obviously not something I'm really gravitating to, because to me, this has no value. But I know a lot of mystics, a lot of witches, a lot of scholars, a lot of rabbis. I know everybody. I know a lot of people in all religions and all things. But one thing that I can tell you is that they all need to transmute their belief systems alchemically. And as a mystical scientist, which is pretty much where I'm at this point in the continuum, I can tell you that's really what it boils down to. You go through these different levels, you go through these corridors, and you start evolving and growing on many, many levels. And you look as a sacred witness and keep moving on to the higher levels of your own divinity, your cosmic blueprint. And that's how that rolls. So I've been very pleased with the people I've had on my show. I'll be honest with you. I'm really blessed to have really good guests. And I find that they've been very informative and just really genuine people deep down, good spirits, good people.
Yeah, great. Chris, why don't you jump in, man? Go ahead.
I think he's involved in something else.
He's muted.
I'd like a follow-up question. Is that fella you had on a few weeks ago, Mr. Brown, the pyramid fella, and that so much of useful knowledge, like the power of pyramids that you can create in your own home and thing, it's all suppressed, right? It's all, once again, funneling you towards this Abrahamic control by others. It's just so crazy. And you know, the whole idea of this world would be a far better place if we had a pantheist society. And, you know, the word witches has such negative connotations. But if we had a pantheist society with priestesses, we would be in a far we'd be a far better world than this this Jew malignancy we toil under right now.
Yeah, there's definitely, the title is the priest or the priestess connected into the craft. And, you know, everything's been hijacked. Everything has been hijacked. So when you look at certain people, they're not all the same. Obviously, they're not from the same equation, so to speak. So, yeah, that definitely happens. And Bill Brown's going to be back on my show, by the way, coming up this next week on hyperspace. So, yeah, I love his work. He's very evolved and ascended on many, many levels and has a lot of good insight connected to the truth beyond the veil. So, yeah, he's a good guy. You should have him on.
Yeah, that, you know, that's an excellent idea. I'm gonna start booking for May. I should contact him. Now, go ahead, Scorpio. I don't want to.
No, go ahead. Go, keep going, man.
So I loved what you said earlier about being essentially a spiritual or energetic scientist, and that's just it. That the average, you know, mainstream normie is so entranced with the lies that the plutocrats want them to believe, and so even good shows like Star Trek, you know, so much of that is kind of subverted, and people don't even understand that, you know, once you're awake enough, you don't need to travel the cosmos with anything but your soul, pretty much, and not a lot of people can do it. Some can, but
it's consciousness.
Yeah, it's
I think it's really about calibrating to the field, so to speak, and also doing the work. I mean, you can't live in a world of deception without doing the internal work, the spiritual work, and activating yourself on a higher level. I mean, people can't. They're never going to get out of the well. So that's the bottom line. And all these sci-fis, yeah, they're basically spinoffs of true information. A lot of it's real information, real data. And then CIA, I mean, they've stolen everything from everybody. They data mine everybody. They take it into a formula and they use it to weaponize the whole world to some degree, especially when it comes to science and technology. So I wouldn't trust anything that comes out of their mouths, and even people who have worked with them or contracted for them, they're completely compromised.
Maybe you could expand a little bit, Solaris, on, you know, this concept of so many things being hijacked. I found that to be true as well. Maybe you could give us a further explanation on that.
Well, anything that has power or energy or, you know, from sacred sites to ley lines to information, anyone who has any particular skill, scientists, mystics, are always, they either experiment on them, compromise them, or steal their data. I mean, it's always one or the other. But there's always that seeking connected to dominance. In other words, they want to just take everybody's data and utilize it to accommodate their version of a false matrix, which is really about control manipulation. So you're seeing that more and more, I mean, obviously. But that's what I've been seeing. Everything gets completely distorted. I mean, you take one symbol and all of a sudden it becomes an abomination when it's not meant to be like that at all. And I see this with every symbol. Everything that you can possibly look at here on this timeline has been bastardized right down to people. So it is really unfortunate that they're doing this, but that's all about the psyop, the mind control, how they're imprinting psychologically, how psychic imprinting is happening. And people who are not educated, who are not on the inside, and I'm not talking secret society inside, I'm talking just consciousness. They don't have a clue and they will be swept away by that. So, you know, that's what I see here as I observe this whole scenario going down.
Interesting. I don't know if you've studied the work of the Gnostics or, you know, are you familiar with the book Not in His Image by John Lash?
I've heard of it. I have not read it.
Well, you know, it's just the Gnostics had this concept that we live in a sort of a matrix that's been hijacked, and that a counterfeit copy of the universe has been produced, and that's essentially what we're living in right now. Have you studied the work of the Gnostics? Or?
Well, I kind of resonate with what you say, and I've resonated with Gnostics. I know a lot of people have approached me about Gnosticism. I suppose that I do have a kind of a connection to that in a psychological or psychic way. I don't know. But I do understand the data, so I don't know where that comes from. But the bottom line is, yeah, I agree with it. I mean, in the sense of what you're describing, that sounds like part of it. We are in a simulation to some degree. It's been fabricated and created for a very long time. And for us, those of us who entered onto the timeline here, I mean, we're taking a lot of this down just by our presence alone, because we're still connected and interconnected to the full light universe. So as we walk this world, we're actually changing the dynamic here, even if it doesn't feel like we're doing anything. And that is a big deal. So I look at that, and I don't know if that answers your question or not, but yeah. That's you know, really what's going on a higher level. So you really have to look at it from a big perspective and a one that's off and away from the distortion and the heaviness and the gravity wells.
Yeah, and see, a lot of that information comes from the Nag Hammadi writings, you know. It's fascinating stuff. Chris, I see you're back, man. Why don't you go ahead, man?
Yeah, I just have to say, we are the dynamite that is blowing open the walls of Plato's cave, you know, because it is really nice. Management, and it really is socially engineering in a massive scale indoctrination that people can't even fathom, to a level that they wouldn't even imagine. And this is how they departmentalize and organize all facets. they run things. I'm going to be talking about this in my show later, talking about the guilds and the different merchant guilds and how they really control trade and they control the production of goods and even the exchange of currencies or the values of currencies in many cases. So this is how they use these instruments of control. This is like an economic sorcery that they understand and have controlled and understood for a long, long time. And it's right. The same group of people. These guys, like I say, they supersede empire. They are a bloodline that goes through these empires. And really, they go through such a measure to obfuscate this connection, historically speaking.
Correct. But let me just interject. And it's nice to see you again, by the way. The one person I had on my audience, I have to come back or on it. But the bloodline thing is overrated with these people. They're not what you think they are. They're imposters. They're players. They're actors. They're imprinted with things that are not necessarily true lineage. So keep that in mind as you think they have all this power. They do not. But they do have the power of psychological control.
I think they believe it.
And they have the power of a lot of reverse engineered tech.
No, I think they believe it.
No, that's true, but they've also been able to put everybody under a spell. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you guys are kind of talking over each other. Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
That's okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
You're saying it's under a spell. Maybe repeat that, Solaris.
No, the world is under a spell. I mean, but you look at this, it's all a bit about psychological imprinting and control mechanisms based on what they want everyone to believe and perceive. And, of course, that's done through media and all kinds of instruction, whether it's through education or other. So, yeah. But at the same time, those of us who are broken away from it, I mean, it just doesn't have any value. And they don't have any value. There's nothing for them. There's nothing for them to bring to the plate when it comes to the cosmos. They cannot impress the off-world species, the off-world intelligence, or other life forms. They're really just worthless and obsolete.
A parasitical elite, so to speak.
Yeah, they have no innovation. They have no anima, no creative force. They are just a destructive force, and that is really how they rule is secrecy and bullying people and, like, intimidation and stuff like that. I'm not saying that I believe that these guys are bloodline. I think they believe they're bloodline. I think that's what they use to justify the eugenics programs and things like this. But I think that deep down inside, most of their self-loathing comes from the understanding that they know that they are truly inferior and not superior at all. And I think that's why they go through such measures to persecute and exterminate certain species and certain races and things like that. So, yeah, just to be clear on that, I wanted to make sure I was clear on, precise in my wording.
No, you're good. No, I get it. I totally resonate. Yeah, you're right on. You're right on.
Well, yeah, and I guess it depends on what your definition of bloodline is, too. I mean, I think the bloodline might be some type of non-human genetics that these people – seem to have, and it might be one explanation as to why their behavior is so much different than an average human being.
It's almost like a reptilian thing. Well, they do behave like that. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I come from a different arena from you all. So when I look at the, you know, when people say non-human intelligence, that's an off-world intelligence. That's not necessarily bad. Now, you're talking about entity control. Not that you're saying that, but in my opinion, this is how I'm reading it. As an entity control, it should mean programming an electronic brain link, perhaps, or things that are connected to a false imprinting connected to them that's not necessarily organic from the cosmos. So that's what I look at on that level.
Yeah, that's good thinking. Slowly Jaded in the chat room is saying, if I build a small pyramid in my yard, I'm now a Freemason. If I paint a rainbow, I'm gay. If I had a cross, now I'm a Christian. Bible Thumper, hijacked is right. I think that was a good point you made earlier.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, the psychological damage that's done with people seeing symbols as something other than what they really are can really be harmful on a collective scale and also on energetic when it comes down to creating matrices. You know, the false matrix is all created from lies and deception, and what we call the full light matrix, the full light universe, is all truth based on the true full light Akashic, full truth energetics that are connected to the cosmic design. So it does make a difference.
Well, and one thing, I sort of see is that part of the game we're in right now is a certain force, whatever you want to call it, is attempting to not only hijack humanity, but prevent the spiritual evolution of humanity. Because the problem is once human beings get to a high enough level, they're not going to be controllable anymore. And they're pulling out all the stops to prevent that right now. And essentially this so-called parasitical elite or whatever you want to call them will become obsolete at a point once human beings reach a certain point in evolution, and they're doing all they can to stop that. And I think that's what's behind this, you know, this pandemic and the vaccines and all that. What's your thoughts?
No, you're right. It also has a lot to do with the empowerment aspects of the avatar consciousness and who we really are. Once we become fully activated in our own divinity, there's unlimited access to the multiverse, interfacing with all types of life forms and beings, including creation, and also manifestation abilities that are off the charts. I mean, people don't realize the potential of what we really are as star beings and onto a timeline. And that's really what it boils down to. That's the bigger picture. So if you're looking at why they're trying to control and shut off the DNA code, because they don't want it activated. They don't want you to have abilities. They don't want you to be able to pierce beyond the veil. They want to be controlling you through their psyops, but they're inferiors. And this is so sickening to me, but at the same time, they're getting crushed. And they have no access off planet in a sense of, I know they don't have allies off planet. I know that. So whatever they're doing here and whatever game they're trying to play, which is very rogue, is extremely self-destruct oriented and will, if it's not stopped by someone, then they will definitely take a lot of people with them. But those people are already being swept away, as you're probably noticing.
Well, tell me more about your concept of timelines. That's interesting.
Well, there's plenty of timelines. They're based on fields and dialing into different dimensional fields through frequency states of consciousness. We have synthetic timelines that are created through their own reverse engineer technologies and some of the things based on belief systems and manifestation of the collective. In other words, you have a global group of people that are creating an agenda. They're all setting that energy and intent into one field of energy. That's another timeline. That's a false timeline to some degree. So you've got all these data codes of information that are based on not valuable information, not good bits of information, so to speak. And then you have the true data streams of information, which are what I call the primary timeline data, which is connected to higher self, oversoul, superconscious, but also the true cosmic templates and blueprints, which are what we're supposed to be accessing and working with. And when everything is in alignment with spirit, things are not conflicting. I mean, everybody's working on the same level in a sense of the no competition, in a sense of everybody's working in unity consciousness, but not trying to destroy each other. I mean, this whole thing about everybody being threatened by everybody else, everybody has to be the same color is of brown or whatever, it's just ridiculous. I mean, we're here as unique individuals, singular consciousness merged with source, and they don't honor that. They don't respect that, but it is a threat thing. They're threatened by the true celestial heritage within, and I find that that's their own curse. It really is.
That's so true. You know, very good point. Go ahead, Chris.
You know about like Operation Looking Glass and some of these DARPA type deep state type things, what are military things, looking into time and exploring, like you say, other dimensions and time travel, things like this. What do you think is going on with that? Because I'd have to think that these people can't really pull this off. And I think that they got to be seeing something into that. It's telling them they got to freak the geek out and do what they're doing right now to try to accelerate some sort of process or civil war or some sort of conflict. I don't know. To me, it seems like that's what they got going on. But
yeah,
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's incoming energies and things intercepting, energetically speaking, that are going to be kind of neutralizing them to some degree, in my opinion anyway. But when I look at the Project Looking Glass, that's completely imploded. All their best covert technologies that they've used for psyops and psychological operations is kind of becoming consolidated, but also broken down to some degree because we've already know what's going on. And a lot of us who are natural remote viewers are very good. Where I've been with covert warfare, I'm way beyond any Project Looking Glass. So I can tell you point blank, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's just it's a lot of the time, it's more about a perception of a reality that's not even based on a true field of energy, but a projection enough that will influence the mass collective. So that's what's really dangerous about it. It's kind of like a Project Bluebeam type thing where you're looking and you're projecting a holographic imagery to inspire the masses when in fact it has no value. So I see all that stuff as broken. And a lot of the off-world technology, all of the exotic technologies and even reverse engineered has been removed from here to this, from this location on this world and moved off planet. I know that's been going on. There's been a lot of sanitization of technology, and whatever's left is really just kind of like satellite driven algorithm, reverse engineered artificial intelligence manufactured by mankind to control, manipulate and induct the mankind and the brainwave activity. So you're looking at that going on. I don't think they have a future. I think they know that. And I'm actually really kind of inside very happy about that, because to me, it's like they've abused and misused their privilege of accessing technology for a very long time. And everything has been a game at everybody else's expense and suffering. And it has been a war crime on a universal scale. So, you know, what you're seeing on the timeline is just them showing their things and showing what they're really about, who they really are, how they really don't give a damn, and what they want to do to take everybody down to the lowest level. You know, they don't want you to be successful on any field of energy, whether it's here on this world or off planet. And this is not acceptable by universal law. That's like a complete violation. So don't get me started with that, but that's really where it is.
Time will tell the truth. Yeah, time will tell the truth.
On and on.
Yeah.
I hope I answer your question, because I go on a tangent sometimes and I'm like,
well, no, you got me thinking about something though. You're talking about like off planet stuff and like maybe skunk work type technology stuff that maybe is beyond the scope of NASA or SpaceX or Robert Bigelow or any of these things like that. Stuff that really is you know. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you think on this? Like, I mean, are there really white hats out there, or like, you know, forces beyond ours, let's say, that are working with a good force that is actually trying to use this technology in a benevolent way for humanity? Or do you think these sinister, you know, serpent bastards are running all this stuff and just treating the world like a gift shop and trying to expand their gift shop into the galaxy?
What I think is mankind has been reverse engineering a lot of things right down to try to create what I call an extraterrestrial species that is completely more about entities. They're entity parasites versus a true off-world species. So you've got that going on. The real celestials, what I call off-world species, do not support in any formula the military, the government here on this world in any formula. They will not even work with them on a contract level. So you're looking at that going on. I don't see any type of a blending when it comes down to what they're doing here and what's off-planet. That's for darn sure. And I do see that their tidbits of information has been at the expense and suffering of many people and many what I call star seeds, you know, people who have the higher consciousness. They ride the stream of consciousness, they get the data, and they start reverse engineering technology to control, manipulate everybody here. But I'm not impressed with what they've done here. And like I said, as I got into some of these covert technologies, I saw very clearly how it works, how it operates, who does it, and what they're doing to this world. But it was all based on true evolution of who we really are as multidimensional beings, you know, in the sense of what our capabilities are. That's my dog bark.
Well, you know,
sorry,
you're
mute.
No, that's no problem. You're touching upon this concept of reverse engineered technology. What do you think of Bob Lazar's information that he brought out in the late 1980s regarding that?
I think I liked Bob Lazar. I thought he had quality data.
Too, yeah.
I didn't see any- Yeah, I really did. That's my two cents. But, you know, when people are like that and they have really, really gifted beings, they get hijacked or they get misdirected or controlled or utilized in some formula. I think that's what happened to him, quite honestly.
They messed with
some incredible
him,
minds. But yeah, I think they do. And of course, it's always about psychological imprinting.
Yeah.
Sanitization of data. That's what their specialty is. So that's what that's what they do. They clean everything up. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I thought it was a fascinating story, and I think he was very credible, and I think a lot of the stuff he said was spot on. And of course, he even admits that the books that they had him read might have just been complete fantasy to misdirect him and those working around him. But I think the core of his story, the reverse engineering, was no question. And you know, Lazar is a very talented man. You know, he later got into building hydrogen powered cars. He loved Corvettes. Right. He built a hydrogen-powered Corvette, and he was even making his own hydrogen by using sort of low-level atomic reactions on his property. And, you know, he got raided by the feds, and they threatened him and, you know, we're going to lock him up forever for working on hydrogen technology that would, you know, totally change how we do things.
They did the same thing to Aaron Schwartz.
What's that, Lars?
Hold on.
No, I'm saying this has been going on forever. Sorry, I didn't mean to walk on you, Chris.
No.
But yeah, it's been going on forever. No, I just had to include that.
Yeah.
They did the same thing to Aaron Schwartz, you know, the guy that invented RSS technology and many of these other things, a kid that was probably groomed by the Sanhedrin to be like an Elon Musk type guy who maybe stepped out of line and tried to do too much for humanity, putting like JSTOR files in categories and putting cures of cancer online and making it accessible to people for no charge. You know, things like that are not acceptable to this group of people that want to sell you life on a pay-to-play basis. So those type of idealists need to be exterminated, even if they are one of their own.
Well, they're rogue. Remember that too. These guys are rogue that are pulling they're pulling the shots here or calling the shots here on this world. They're in for a big surprise. They're in for a big wake up call. I tell you, point blank. Yeah. When it comes down to off world intelligence and off world species, they're crushed. They're done. So the fact that they've been trying to halt everybody's evolution, that's a big deal. Stealing people's patents and then exploiting them into their own underground is not okay. Also, torturing people with technological warfare projects, whether it's where I've been, synthetic telepathy, psychotronic interface, brain links, you name it. That's not acceptable either. I mean, the stuff they've been doing is an abomination, and it's been against all codes and multiversal law. I mean, I can't get over the fact that they think they can get away with this. But, you know, this is what makes me angry. You have these beautiful, wonderful people and life forms that are they're scientists and inventors and spiritualists, whatever, that get completely compromised, and it's not okay. And it's not okay for them to come up and show up and take their patents and take their technology. Everyone has a right by free will, by universal law, to do and create. And that would have been a benefit for everybody here. It wouldn't have been something that would pull everybody into such a void of caveman mentality.
That's such an important point you just made, Solaris. That's really excellent about the right to creativity and how that could change the world in such fundamental ways. And, you know, it's amazing how science has been hijacked with this phony science and preventing, you know, because really, in a way, you know, if you look at it, a real scientist is a lot like an artist or a musician. They're very devoted to what they do, and creating their knowledge, creating their craft of science, it's the most important thing to them, much like an artist or a musician. And it's just sad that that's been completely hijacked with this bogus climate agenda and this bogus virus is going to get you agenda that we're living through right now. Yeah. And your other point that's so important is that they can't just keep breaking cosmic laws forever. The chickens are going to come home to roost eventually. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, it's on its way. I mean, in that sense, you're going to watch what's going to happen. They're going to get crushed. I already know that. There's nothing they can do to change it. And it doesn't matter how much they try to hurt everybody here. They're screwed. And I find that, you know, I just don't want to be them. It's like it sucks to be them at this point because they don't realize that yet. I know it seems like we're in a grim situation, but you have to look at the bigger scenery behind it all. And it does, you know, things are going to work out the right way.
That's a great point. So let's get Giuseppe in here, man. Take it away, G-Man.
Well, I discovered this book. I think, Solaris, you know it since you wrote it in 2004. And in chapter 7, it's awesome. You talk about how do I connect to an ascension wave. And you say, you may be asking yourself, how is this done? There is no big equation to this. Part of opening the spirit is allowing yourself to love and be loved. Chakra meditations are a great way to align your energy centers and clear away negative blocks and debris that are interdimensional doorways. Most of all, a shift in thinking is needed. We are merging into multidimensional states of awareness. We must release all limiting belief systems. And what's so interesting, and this is really an excellent book, and you wrote that almost 20 years ago. It seems to me that these dark parasites, this malignancy that controls this planet, everything that they control is nothing but toxic, big pharma, big agra, big government, big war. It is all eats away like the cancer that they themselves energetically are. And yet, and look at where they're at now, where I'm seeing these pictures, these videos of these shitheads. The mother is masked up and she just gave birth and she can't touch her baby. They have a plastic laminate sheet. And so how sick is this? How stupid? I mean, literally, if you were to gauge stupidity and cowardice, you'd eliminate 6 billion people from this planet tomorrow. That's how entranced they are and how stupid they are. You need to hug people. You need to touch people. You need to live your life. This is just a goddamn common cold with a few bells and whistles added through gain of function, crime against humanity, and nature experimentation. So anyway, where I'm going with this is, how did you come up with this book? And it's more relevant today than ever. Take it away.
Well, I want to thank you. Thank you for reading my book, by the way. That was my first book I ever published. That was a compilation of a lot of information from all the initiations and the work that I was doing on the timeline before the induction. So, and the data was there. I mean, that's my higher self, also super consciousness, my research, is my initiations. It's how I interpolate the cosmos. And I know that the data was correct. I mean, that's my gnosis of understanding. So I was really pleased about putting that book out, and I was very happy of it. That was the shot heard around the world, by the way. That was the book that started the induction where I was pulled into that program. So yeah, but thank you for reading it. And I know a lot of people really like that data still to this day. So and it's timeless. It is.
That's awesome that you wrote a book of that caliber back in 2004. That's really quite amazing. Very impressive. Mm-hmm. I want to get Chris in here. But first, I want to just bring in a question from the chat room. When do you think the hijacking began?
I think it began a long, long, long time ago. I mean, you're talking like, I don't want to get into the ancient civilizations, but beyond that, I mean, you're looking at advanced beings that were literally, there was always a battling and polarity consciousness, if you ask me. And due to the field of perception, I think there was a misuse of technology. So that fragmented down into and onto, whether it's through the cellular design work and the DNA, obviously connecting into all life forms to some degree. But I think it's been here for a long, long time. I do know that after the world, or during the World War II, that's when things really spiked up with all the Project Paperclip we've discussed before, but the idea behind really mastering not only the human domain, so to speak, but the state of consciousness, mastering the mind. If they can get in the heads, if they can control the mind, they can control everything. They can control reality. They control everything. You know, Giuseppe made a good point about what's going on with people being so brainwashed. I mean, literally, there's a Stockholm. This is unbelievable kind of crap that I'm seeing on here. And it's so dysfunctional. But this is scary in a sense of how easily they are manipulated and the fact that they don't even question and that they're on their own. They're like just walking into this whole thing. They're walking into the abyss and they don't even care.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Go ahead, Chris.
If I answered your question or not, let me know.
Yeah, no, good.
Yeah, no, there's certainly a lot of an overabundance of Judas goats out there and people that are certainly steering people off the cliff. And, you know, you're talking about these diabolical people that are doing this horrible stuff to people. I have to say that the most honorable thing you can do is to be yourself and who you are and who God designed you to be. And I think that really in this time of confusion and manufactured chaos, that really you got to hold that moral compass, that center of knowing who you are, know thyself, and really not fall for the social engineering or the compliance or the collaboration measures that these people are expecting from you to provide, because this is not a normal thing. You know it in your heart. You know what the truth is. You know that this is bullshit. You know that these people are bullshit. You know that everything they have to offer is a Gollum Enterprise or a poison apple or a Trojan horse at best. You know, these guys don't have anything that's valuable for us at all. And it's time for everybody that's not wanting to be a part of this to move on to something better than this. And it shouldn't involve, a mass genocide like we're seeing here. And this vaccination thing or whatever you want to quote unquote call that thing is absolutely a war crime. And man, if this is about to continue, I don't know, man. I think that humanity is going to have to really have some immense repair to do from the damage that is being done by these people if they're not sorted out.
Yeah, well said. Well, the thing is, you know, as I mentioned before, they don't have allies off planet. And what they're doing is not unnoticed. They're noisy. They're very noisy. You know what I mean?
It's so at that point, they're
on self-destruct. They're going extinct. I mean, there's not. I don't know what they think they're going to have in the end. And the end's in the illusion of.
How do they get away with it? So, how do they think they're going to get away with it? You know,
They're going down. They want everybody down with them. That's the bottom line. This isn't about breaking away to a new frontier for the better and the greater good for everybody here. This is about self-destruct sequence. We can't do this. We can't make it out there. Therefore, you are going down with this. And we're going to control you if you can break orbit and go out there in your own cosmic design work. That's what they're threatened by. But it's our birthright. It's our cosmic blueprint. It's our celestial birthright that we have. And it's honored by the universe. And they don't have a right to interfere. They don't have a right to run any national security or global security and say, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't invent this. I mean, we want to better ourselves on a multidimensional scale. We can do that. And they shouldn't be interfering with that. And they are. And it makes them an enemy of everything off planet and also rogue. So that's a big deal. It's a huge deal. And right now they're running the whole PSYOPs. I mean, they've infiltrated every area. I've talked about ufology in my new book, Alien Intelligence, and disinformation there. They're infiltrating everything. And thank you. You're so sweet. Thank you very much. Thank you. I hope you like that book.
Yeah. Hey, how do people get your books? That's a good one. Maybe do
another one. This one, too. This is really good. We got to talk about this one. Yeah.
That's a good
one. Nice. Yeah. I have to maybe check into those if I ever get some free time, man.
Yeah, they're not hard to read. I mean, in a sense that they're pretty quick reads. They're not real thick books.
Yeah, no, I'd like to read those. They seem interesting.
They are. If I had copies, I'd send you some. I don't have copies of Programmed by Deception. They are on Amazon, but I'm happy to send you all the other copies if you want them. I think I mentioned that to you before, Scorpio.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be great. I'm a voracious reader.
Tell me if you don't mind.
I think you'd enjoy it in a sense of it's really a confirmation of a lot of different things.
So Solaris, in Chapter 9 of Program by Deception. You ask, what is a code breaker? Some might define this as someone who can decipher covert technology or better yet, alien hardware. Considering I am something of an alien, the word seems to blend with my cellular design. So what is a code breaker seeing the multiverse, the true celestial matrix?
Right. Well, what I've been describing before is who we really are, is our own multidimensional design work, but also knowing that the off-world intelligence and the off-world symbiotic intelligence is not an ally of what's going on here, and that the technology that I've compared from where I've been and what's out there is completely different. So part of the code breaking is being able to decipher and look into the mind control programs and also look into the technology here on this world and see what it's composed of and where it came from and how it was engineered to some degree. So you go through everything, but you look in between the lines and you read in between the spaces of their own psychological programming and look at it from a whole different parallax view. So I've been able to look at that. That's why I've been getting a lot of gnosis insofar as the data that I come up with, which isn't just speculation, but literally just an understanding of bigger scenery and the cosmos. Because I'll tell you one thing, when you get pulled into these projects, like where I've been, the first thing that happens when they try to encapsulate you and snuff your spirit out is my whole thing. My system goes into overdrive. Like I'm linked in. I'm even closer to creation, even when they're trying to do this, these horrific things. So I find that with that, there's a cross-bridging of data. And the cross-bridging is me already just streamed right in and them trying to intercept when they can't. So that's where that gnosis comes from. That's where that decoding comes from. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
To some degree.
Hey, can I ask your opinion on the NASA operations and stuff? Do you think those were all hoaxes, or do you think that there's like a higher technology? Obviously, you're saying like off planet and things like that. What about like Stargate technologies or things like that? I know that there's a lot of stuff that they speculate on. What are your opinions on some of these topics? And maybe you can get into some detail on that maybe until we go to the break.
And the NASA extra dimensions too, multi-dimensions, not just off planet. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think with that technology, as far as NASA goes, we all know that they sanitize everything right down to photographs and any imagery they send to everybody here in this world and the illusion of is all, you know, you really have to use discernment when you're looking, you have to use discernment because a lot of it, in my opinion, is just has no value. Yeah. Unless you're actually there, I would say look into remote viewing yourself. Insofar as anything else goes, yeah, everything that we've done, insofar as this big imagery on television, whatever they show you on TV is a lie. So, yes, I think we have backdoor access to a lot of black technology that can get us to certain locations and jump points, but it's not as vast as you think it is. It's limited because of the enemies they've made off planet. They don't talk about that. So that's where that comes from. The enemies off planet, and it's not like they're trying to hurt everybody here and they want everyone eradicated. No, mankind has stolen their technology, reverse engineered it, attacked their species, dissected us who are star beings, who are part of the cosmic design as star children. And if you think they have allies off planet, you're sadly mistaken. And that's where that comes from. That's where the polarization comes from. So whatever they try to say, I wouldn't subscribe to their data at all. But it is, you know, like I said, half and half. But it's still even Stargate. Right. It's inverted. And even the stargates, I mean, yeah, there's jump points everywhere. We have jump points. We have stargates that are natural. We have stargates. You're a stargate. Your natural design, your divine blueprint, who you are as a star being, you're a walking stargate. When you leave this world, whether you're alive or dead or in the illusion of death, you traverse the galactic highway. You're already the template, right? You're already the design. And, you know, you can have that kind of design or they have the ones that they can build as well. And also certain locations on the map and on and off world, which correlate insofar as how you can get from point A to point B.
Wow, that's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. Could you expand a little more on who you think their enemies are? Like, who are the beings you're talking about specifically that are their enemies?
Well, I'm not going to say they're grays or reptiles because that's the psychological operation. I will say that they're more about the light beings, what I call the celestials, the ancient ones, the architects, the ones who literally create and can snuff things in and out, wink worlds in and out, co-creators of the cosmic design, the divine celestials, what I call them, but the big generators, so to speak, and the ascended symbiotic machines, which are not compatible with their version of reverse engineered artificial intelligence. A big difference. These things are life forms. They're connected to consciousness. They're not evil. They're not trying to harm anybody. Whole different arena right there. So when you look at that, they don't have a camaraderie there. And I do know that that is something I think that they've been concerned about for a very long time. And this is why when you see contactees or anybody, even if you're not a contactee, someone who's a spiritual being who's accessing multidimensional space, well, that's a threat to them because if you can get in and you can get beyond their spectrum of control, then you have access to information they will never get. So that is a big deal. But they do have a lot of enemies. And I think that that's going to come out more and more. They're going to try to paint it as, oh, the extraterrestrials are our enemy. Well, we are the celestial beings. I call us celestials. We're star beings. We are the descendants of that. We're the descendants of the visitors, whether you like it or not. Here we are. So, you know, this is why there's a war with the DNA code. This is why there's a war, especially with the white race. A lot of levels, if you look at it. There's a reason behind it. Look at your progress. You know, I'm not trying to sound racist, but I will say that if you look at the white race and you look at what's been created, there has been a lot of breakthroughs and a lot of technology And look at what they've done and look at how much they've created. It's unfortunate that it's been weaponized and the creeps got in control where they bastardized everything and started, you know, completely creating a bunch of garbage instead of letting us keep evolving and ascending in unity consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the white race is being demonized right now for a variety of reasons. Well, what do you think they're trying to do with the genetic code right now concerning, you know, the vaccine and all this stuff? We're going to need a new vaccine every year to stay safe. Well, what do you think they're really trying to do there?
I think it's manipulation for sure. If you're dealing with the genome, and you all know better than I do because you've had Judy on, but the bottom line is, it's all about control manipulation at the DNA level. And you don't know what they're really going to do insofar as inserting what they're inserting into that code. The DNA activates through frequency. It can repair your body. It has its own database of information. It has its own cosmic template. So when you're, and Giuseppe probably knows this as a healer, you already know the body knows how to heal. So you don't need some kind of an injection where it's going to give dictation and create some kind of electronic parasite that's going to tell you how to perform or how to heal your body. And I find it to be a complete problem in a sense of, I don't think this was an accident. We know it's not an accident. This is about the DNA, snuffing out the DNA, controlling the DNA and saying, well, if you're going to evolve, it's the way we want you to evolve. It's going to be at our level. We want you to be here. No, that's not how it's going to work. So I do have a big problem with this, because when you look at it on a multidimensional scale, not the linear, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. They have no right to mess with the DNA, and they are going after the DNA.
Absolutely. And it's like I said on a previous show that they want to recreate humanity in their image, and they do not have the right to do that. And I think they're crossing a real line here. This is one of the things that supposedly brought down the Atlanteans and other ancient civilizations.
Right. That's a good point you make right there. Well, their version is always a poor man's version, too. I mean, you already have the biotech within you, your own light body, your Merkaba, all the beauty of your own divine blueprint is already there. It's activated through your state of consciousness once again and through frequency. So these guys are trying to replicate that, create it with their own inversion of an algorithm with a man-made electronic, you know, artificial intelligence program, and then try to create their own template for something so they can control, manipulate your outcome, which I find like, yeah, they're trying to play God with a little T. And I don't think it's going to go over very well. But these aren't the ancient ones, like we said before. They're imposter players, but they play a game very, very well. And I don't like where we're heading with this at all. And I find that people who are just willing to just go with it.
Okay, welcome back to Operation Scorpio for the third and final hour. And last hour, we're having a really interesting conversation with Solaris Blue Raven, author of several books and a woman of pretty substantial knowledge on multiple fronts. And Solaris, you know, I wanted to ask you something about this concept of, you know, underground, deep underground bases. It's something I've looked into quite a bit. And, you know, we know for sure that there's, you know, entire underground cities that exist. You know, for example, Mount Weather, it's a complete city with a post office and everything. Essentially, a completely separate civilization that's unknown to most people. And supposedly there's a whole, you know, connected grid of these cities and military bases that are deep under the earth that were actually constructed from the ancient tunnel systems that existed since antiquity. And they essentially just used some technology to further these tunnels. And, you know, years ago, I was living in San Diego, and I lived about 100 yards, literally, from the submarine base in San Diego in Point Loma, on the Bayside. And it's one of the most secretive submarine bases in the country. It's very important. And I used to, years ago, I just, you know, was a starving artist, and I just had a futon that I kept on the floor, and I slept on that. And at night, I would hear these high speed trains go by underground, because I was literally had my ear on the floor, and I could hear these trains go back and forth that made a very kind of a whooshing, a very strange sound. But I have personal experience that these bases are connected. So I was just wondering what your understanding is of those facilities, and who is in control of them, and what do you think is going on beneath our feet?
That's a good question. Yeah, it sounds like magnetic rails from what you're describing, but I agree in a sense of a lot of the underground facilities were actually expanded upon earlier creation insofar as other life forms that created a particular area. I would say a lot of it is military driven in a sense of just global military intelligence in a lot of areas where it's just weaponized military. I don't see a lot more experimentation as they used to. I think it's more about just psychological operations, in my opinion. But yeah, you've got a whole different group of people insofar as living underground when it comes down to military and this and that. But they're still compromised too. I mean, they can't live forever down there. So you've got all kinds of things happening, whether it's exploration science, black sciences, technology, psyops, and just military stance. And then, of course, you have an interconnection going on in the global network where everybody's shaking hands under the table to some degree. And you're looking at the global intelligence network, which is really about working together for an agenda, even if they appear as enemies. So you're seeing that too. But I don't see ET down there. I know a lot of people, I think they have reverse engineered a version of a species, this and that, that kind of stuff that goes on. But when it comes down to real species, no. I don't see that down there. I know a lot of people would probably argue that, but I don't.
Do you think the grays are just some kind of engineered species that was created somehow for that?
I think a lot of it is reverse engineered. I think some of it is connected to, I want to call them kind of like drone technology, but literally a synthetic life form to some degree. But so much has been reverse engineered and remapped that they have a version of everything. And I think that's what people are looking at today, plus the psychotronics. So if they don't physically come into contact with these things, then it's psychotronic, okay? They're not getting visited. They're getting psychotronic interface. I'm telling you point blank. It's a psyop.
Right, and that's interesting. And, you know, have you looked into the concept that, you know, these deep underground bases, they're really not very deep when you look at how big the Earth is. But the idea that there's, you know, essentially worlds within worlds, the deeper down you go into, or a so-called, you know, hollow Earth or other worlds within a world inside the Earth. Have you looked into that, or what are your thoughts on that?
I look at it as more as interdimensional and multidimensional, but I get what you're talking about. And I think that, yeah, they have different types of beings. I've heard different types of life forms live in certain areas underground, so to speak. But I don't put a lot of emphasis on that particular thing. I put emphasis on the fields of energy, the ley lines, the port, the star ports, in a sense of access points on the globe itself, and to find out how you can traverse interdimensionally or multidimensionally. And that, to me, gives me a lot more information than something that's just underground in a sense of people's version of what they think might be down there. But I do know that we have jump points. And when I look at the globe itself and this illusion of a globe, I should say, but the idea behind our access points on this world, you've got you can traverse so easily when you're connecting into and onto these fields of energy that are interconnected and weaved into our galactic highway off planet. So this is why I've always kind of smirked at the idea behind the space program, because they're not working with jump points. They're not working with things that are very, very traversable when it comes down to almost zero point. Instead, they're using tin cans in space and creating a sideshow. I didn't want to digress with that, but yeah, go ahead.
No, you don't think that Elon Musk is going to take us to Mars in 2025? Come on.
You know, I watch him often. I observe him. He's so compromised, though. And the funny thing is, he's either playing the game, playing stupid, giving a sideshow and doing something behind the scenes with bigger technology, or he's just plain lost. I'm not sure, because if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be wasting it on tin cans. So there's something else going on with that whole thing, in my opinion. And even the satellites, we've talked about that before. He doesn't need all those satellites up there. Yeah, not for free energy and not for,
Yeah, I totally
agree. Covered fire.
And Elon Musk, you know, so many of these billionaires that we hear about that they always put into the spotlight in the media, you know, these people are just creations for us to look at. Elon Musk, you know, so many of these people, their life story does not add up. Elon Musk's financial wealth does not add up. You know, this Tesla car company has always lost money. There's no way he's making money building tin cans. To fly into space. So, yeah, I think you're right. There's something a lot bigger going on there with Musk and all these so-called billionaires.
Bezos.
Well, they're contracted with the military too, or he is. I mean, there's nothing he can get done without a clearance to do it. And so far as he's always going to be compromised. You know, when is he going to take off without military? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and this
idea, he's going to go to Mars without the military? That's not going to happen.
And I don't think we're going to fly to Mars in a tin can either. You know, could be wrong, but
I think they'll be very surprised to find out what's over there anyway. So
the what? What'd you say?
I said they'll be surprised. I think they'll be very surprised. You know what I mean by it's not as desolate as it appears, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
You know, when you're looking at life forms and not all life forms are just two-legged walking the earth. There's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah. And now, just a little while ago, you touched upon the concept of ley lines and that you're really interested in that. Could you expand upon that? Because I think that's highly significant.
Yeah, well, we have our ley lines, which literally are just like access points where we can navigate and traverse interdimensionally, multidimensionally, but also amplification of sacred sites, as you probably know, or anytime we're doing anything spiritually evolved or ascended through our own psyche. I mean, these things are amplifiers to our state of consciousness, which open up portals and stargates and doorways so that we can traverse even to higher multidimensional fields of energy. So they're very significant insofar as how we navigate through those fields. And you'll find that most ley lines in this world or areas of power spots have been hijacked and compromised to some degree by whether it's through covert military operations or other, to a point where they divert and create a distortion in the field with the energetic signatures associated with that. So that's the problem that I see, is that everything has been kind of contaminated, but you can still access those ley lines, because if you're pure of spirit and it's like the King Arthur thing where you can pull the sword from the stone. I mean, if you have that in your own energetic signature, you can traverse that area and you can navigate to higher fields of energy, which will change your DNA. It'll change your cellular design work and your whole molecular structure through the frequency itself. I don't know if any of you have been through crop circles or around things like that, but when you're in these types of areas, it really ramps up your field. Your vibration starts getting faster and you can feel the energetic, almost like electricity. And that's part of your bioelectric suit powering up. So think about that with ley lines, and think about that when you're working in these areas of energy, because that's what it boils down to. Everything is like energetic. So just something to remind yourselves of.
That in nature too, like when you're out in nature, you feel
we're trying to bastardize that now.
Yeah, ley lines and stuff, like, they're very important, because you can feel that energy build up. It's almost like the people when they gather in like sporting stadiums or like collective crowds, like that energy is able to be harnessed in a good or a bad way even, you know, and that's, I think, a big part of why they have sports and why they really try to run the perception management and the psychological operations through the sporting events in terms of propaganda and stuff. I think that's really a big part of hijacking the human spirit, you know, the collective mindset. The energy.
Oh, they feed on any kind of energy, even adrenaline. And, you know, your adrenaline, they feed on that. Well, we've talked about that before. But,
yeah
they'll feed on anything when it comes down to energetics. And I think that's why you see people in the entertainment industry. They love the energetics associated with being in a large crowd, because they feed on that. It gets a euphoric high, and it gets them into this addiction mode where they literally become so addicted to that frequency. They have to do something to keep that up, whether it's through drugs, psychological, you know, programming or something else.
Yeah. But let's get Giuseppe back in here. Man, Giuseppe, go ahead, bro.
Well, the first thing I would tell you is when we moved here to 11 miles west of the District of Criminals, we're above some type of deep tunnel system, and every day it literally rumbles the house. And especially on Sundays, they're very active, and the house will subtly shake for hours upon hours as something rolls underneath here. So there's a lot of that going on. And secondly, in Solaris, your latest book, Alien Intelligence, you have on page 51, it's very cool, you describe the great magi is the cosmic eye. And so tell us about what is the cosmic eye, the great magi?
Well, it's the great cosmic mind, but it's beyond the all-seeing eye in the sense of understanding, knowing all simultaneously, beyond the illusion of space, beyond the illusion of time. You know, the source beyond it all is my interpolation of the data. So that's what I'm looking at when I'm talking about that.
Awesome. Yeah, the other thing is, does it seem to you like these satanic or malevolent cult are going all in trying to enslave humanity? I mean, what is in these shots, as you mentioned, Dr. Judy, another guest, Dr. Carrie Madej, and so many others are warning, don't take this. This is experiments upon humanity. And what, you know, as I mentioned, there is, I think, the great majority of Americans and sadly Western world, once there was greatness to the white, you know, we better become racist and champion our whiteness. Otherwise we're going to be wiped out. But there was I've been doing some research into this, predates the Egyptians, called the Scythians, like a scythe or scythe. And the Scythians were essentially the Aryans of ancient lore, and they were, everyone considered them the finest earth had, and they were nomads, and they hunted, but they lived by a code. They had no interest in usury. In fact, they looked down upon it. They'd conquer these tribes in these areas, and then they would just move on. And it's funny that they've been wiped out of history, and that is really what has driven so much of the glory, which is the European heritage, the Germanic heritage especially. And anyway, where I'm going with this is that right now it seems like this cancer, this malignancy that controls this world through usury, is trying to destroy the human race and transhumanize people into something less than human. Instead of ascending and becoming our real destiny, they're trying to take it in the opposite direction and introduce this nanotech and these adjuvants and these poisons to kind of create this race of high functioning autistic zombies that can do what they're told. They're compliant. They're easily trackable. The whole Bill Gates, Luciferi's Mark of the Beast bullshit will be implemented in the next couple of years. And how do the average idiot or shithead, why are they going along with this in your mind?
I don't think they know any better, quite honestly. And, you know, the bottom line is their version of transhumanism is a flawed program, because that which has created is a subhuman class entity, two-legged. I'm sorry if I say it that way, but it's the truth of it. It's not being divinely created, okay? Right. So you're dealing with not an upgrade to the brain link, but something that's degrading the mind or degrading the psyche and the consciousness. It's diverting the flow of consciousness into an electronic signal. And that signal is connected to their algorithm program and their what I call their version of artificial intelligence, which has no connection to off-world intelligence. So that's the transhumanism that is not flattering. These guys are like crazy people that are thinking, oh, we're going to be really powerful. The power comes from cosmic design. The power comes from your soul spirit, your multidimensional design, that's where the power comes from, your divinity. It does not come from their version of a technology. So yeah, I see this indoctrination program going. It's going to look very enticing, but at the same time, when you're electronically linked to something that's giving you commands 24/7, you lose the thought. You can't start thinking for yourself anymore, and you can't start accessing consciousness or the flow of consciousness and that beauty of spirit, because they're completely invading with a chatterbox program. I've been through these projects, remember, the synthetic celebrity, so I understand how to decode them quite well. And I can tell you that they're never going to be smooth running with these types of transhumanism programs. You automatically have your light body, that's your biotech. You don't need to be integrated into their transhumanism, which is their version of a light body, which is electronic light body. So this is this part of the thing I'm looking at too with these injections, you know, trying to reset your defense system and how you can heal your body through their version of a template. They're not you. You know, we talk about singular consciousness merged with source. I mean, they're not you. You are unique and individual. They're sitting there trying to make a cookie cutter program to accommodate everybody. Well, once again, it's defective, and it's a self-destruct.
Oh, well,
that's a great
said.
Point. Yeah. Go ahead, Giuseppe.
Well, I was just going to say the whole, you know, since the arrogant buffoon Edward Jenner is credited with curing smallpox, which he did no such thing. Essentially, he murdered his stepson and his son at age 20 and 21. Yeah. And it's an episodic contagion. It comes and then it burns itself out and then it's done. And the entire history of quaxination is essentially trying to conquer the natural way and the divine way, because nature is divine, and we are beings. We're altered, of course, to have this sentience that most other species on the planet don't possess. This you know, self-awareness, which is really in Taoism, it's called the small man, and that pedophilic deviant Freud called the ego. You know, we're the only beings who have been implanted with that modification, which is not necessarily a good modification in many instances. And what's funny is that it's all right there for the people. If you eat right, if you get enough rest, if you exercise, if you meditate, if you get enough sunshine, if you literally, there's something called earthing, take off your shoes and go stand in some grass 5 minutes a day and just do like a little bit of a Tai Chi routine, like an 8-move Tai Chi, you will totally move your body's chi or energy in such a positive way. But instead, all these parasitic, inferior things, injection, magic pills from Big Pharma, the GMO, which destroys your gut biome, everything they do and they want to is inferior as you're describing. And so I don't know. I'm just I'm babbling. I'm in an irritation.
No, you're not. Today, and you're making some good points. Definitely making some very good points. But I agree with you. I mean, the whole thing is it shouldn't even be going on. And the fact of the matter is that it's been allowed to go on is just I can't even fathom that, to be honest with you, because it's so defective on so many different levels. But that's what it leads to: breakaway civilizations, breakaway beings who have had enough and are not going to play the game anymore. I mean, this isn't going to work. And it's not just America. It's on a global scale. This type of indoctrination, control mechanism, snuffing out the spirit, snuffing out the soul, snuffing out freedom of thought, freedom of speech. I mean, all these things they want to just take away. That's not going to work. Like I said before, that's universal violation on a huge scale. And to me, it's like, you know what? I'm not playing the game. I'm not going to be part of this game board. And I think that people should take a good look at this on a very high level of their own consciousness.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree. It's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, the little mouse with the magician's hat on, playing with forces he can't possibly understand and getting himself in real trouble. That's what's going on right now. And you're right.
Sounds like Biden.
Yeah. Biden. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, these guys, the humor is unbelievable.
Executive orders right now. I don't think you.
Yeah, and this
I don't think he realizes what he's doing. I don't know if he's even there anymore in his body.
No, I think he's a cyborg, maybe. And they got him hooked up to a remote control. Who knows? But, you know, this concept that you keep talking about, that they're breaking universal laws, is so important. And that's right. You can only do it for so long before the chickens come home to roost. Chris, go ahead, man. Take it away.
Yeah, man, there's a lot going on. Like I said, it's an eternal war. I think it's been going on for a long, long time. And there's forces maybe at hand that are beyond the scope of our comprehension. And really, it's something that has always filled the voids of our understanding with our own imagination. And in many cases, we often, like you said earlier in your opening, Dave, ascribe our own innocence to these guilty parties. And we can't have these people compromising the innocent parts of our society in the manner that they are, in the predatory fashion which they've been, without some sense of justice. And until we really go after that, until we really put these people to the grindstone, I don't think that really we're going to be able to dig our way out of this. And I don't think that really that there's an easy way out of this. I don't think it's going to be a simple thing. But pretty much this COVID hoax is kind of showing everybody's cards and who's who and what's what. And I think that, like, the truth is kind of something like Pandora's box. And once it's out, it can't go back in. You can't unsee this. You can't. Do you know what I mean? Like, masks are off. The gloves are off. Are you guys with me on this, or am I talking nonsense? Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. No, I agree with that. Well, that's the whole idea behind truth. You put the truth out there, you can't cover it up once it's out. And we've been doing that for a long time, whether it's through UFOs or covert warfare or anything. You know, where I come from, I mean, the truth is out there. And they want to sanitize it and control the narrative again. And they're taking drastic measures to control and manipulate the masses right now, right down to psychological operations and psychological abuse, which is very interesting how they've abused everybody and they don't even know it. Yeah. They're being abused every single day. They were started getting abused with this bio warfare, harassment program, which started, over a year ago. And people didn't understand it. You know, you give people the benefit of the doubt, especially when they're the illusion of authority, that they're going to be telling you the truth, and they weren't telling the truth. They lied from day one. They skewed the whole scenario to accommodate their version of what they wanted to create and take down this country. They've had, it's a sad thing to watch this country implode from the inside with people who have betrayed it, literally sabotaged it from within, people who have committed high treason. That's not even being acknowledged. They don't give a damn. They're trying to portray it. They take the intelligence and they use it against the opponent. They do it all the time. They weaponize it. That's a typical CIA tactic. That's a Fed tactic. I mean, they do it every single day, PSYOPs. So I look at this as a self-implosion. It's going to implode, but they're taking a lot of people with them because people are not standing up and people are being swept away, whether it's through innocence or stupidity. I'm not sure. And I don't care at this point, but I will say one thing: keep your evolution to a high level, attune your fields to the higher cosmic design work. And that's where keep your wits about you and your intellect, because that's going to get you out of here and your evolution.
That's a great point.
Do you think 9/11 was a lockstep thing that they did to justify this type of clampdown and these measures, not only the surveillance thing, but to put in this technocracy and this full control system? And even like COVID's going the next level in terms of justifying the next level of lockdowns and quarantining the healthy over this draconian measure. You know, it's almost like a coin toss. It's not even as accurate. You know, so I mean, like, it's literally this is absurd. And the absurdity, like you say, people not standing up to this absurdity is going to be our own downfall.
No, I totally agree. And I think 9/11, obviously, you know, that to me was a major psychological operation. And look how it affected the American people on so many different levels. I mean, I remember what I was doing that day. I was supposed to teach martial arts and I canceled my class. And we didn't know what to say to each other. So I had everybody do a meditation. But just to give you an idea. But I can tell you, yeah, I think that all of it has been imprinted and psychologically done and strategically done to...
I mean, to like justify the targeting. Yeah, like think about like you're talking about targeting.
Like, domination.
You're talking over each other.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was just jumping in and saying like you were talking about targeting and like how they're doing that with these type of psychic warfare weapons. I think that 9/11 was kind of a thing that they pulled off so that they can justify these type of things under the umbrella of national security and really target their own citizens in many cases, as you've seen. Like look what they did to guys like Bill Cooper or maybe Alan Watt or other people that have really blown the whistle on things. You know, they go after these type of people. They take them out. Matthew North, there's so many. It's not even funny. They're like picking us apart one by one.
Yeah, they do.
You know, you could make the argument.
Well, those directed energy weapons, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go
on. Well, I was just going to say,
I'll go second.
It goes way back further in the sense that they created this false belief in the United States that we were the noble heroes of World War II and we defeated the evil Nazis, when in reality the Germans were the hero of World War II, trying to fight the usury malignancy. And then they get everyone feeling good about themselves and they set up the ritual public execution of John F. Kennedy Jr., which just shattered the psyche for 20 some years. The U.S. was, oh, we're so noble. We're bringing peace and democracy to the rest of the planet and we're the good guys. And boom, all of a sudden they begin to destroy the psyche of the average Bubis Americanus, as Mike Gaddy likes to refer. And then you begin to create the malignancy into the media, where you know used to have more wholesome shows and movies, and all of a sudden they're introducing all these deviances and violence into the mass media, and they're building up the anti-hero and the tolerating the deviances of homosexuality in public. I don't care what you do in your basement or in your club or in your bedroom. That's your freedom. But to try and bring out 2% of the population should be tolerated by 98% of the heterosexual population is just ridiculous in the public space. And then, boom, they're really starting to eat at the psyche. And then the next ritual sacrifice is this 9/11, which totally and then, boom, you've got now. I mean, I think it all ties together, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think it ties together. There's no doubt about that. There's also the targeted individuals that people have forgotten about, because the people that have been experimented on have had no voice whatsoever over decades. But, yeah, you're right about the German people, and we inherited the Nazis. We inherited their technology, and we utilized it. And people in CIA became them, literally, with their psychological operations and the way they did their interrogations, right down to the technological interface and the brain links and everything else. And that was inherited. That has been deployed covertly for decades, compromising people's brains, making them look crazy. You know, how many people have you seen? I mean, we can go into the shooting aspects of people who, oh, they're hearing voices. Well, you know what? They're either hearing voices, they might be psychotic, and they might be interconnected with technology. Which one is it? 90% of the population right now is probably compromised with some kind of a feed, whether they're hearing a narrative or they're not. So I would say point blank that some of these people are probably already Manchurian programmed. And that's another thing, too, and not to divert this conversation, but have you seen how many shootings we've had for the past few weeks? I mean, what's going on here? Did everybody get on the same, we're in the same color, and all of a sudden they called each other on the phone and said, hey, we're going to do this now? Sounds like an operation to me. Sounds a little bit suspect.
Total operation. Right on schedule for this big push to take away people's right to have a gun if they choose to. And these shootings are just highly suspicious on so many levels. And, you know, I thought you touched upon a good point, too, this idea of psychological abuse. It's happening on all fronts, and the worst thing right now is the abuse being done to children. They're keeping them terrified and taking away the innocence of childhood that you're supposed to have.
Oh, yeah. Did you catch
I feel so sorry for the kids today. I really do.
God. Yeah. I mean, Chris and Holly are making the point of keeping their child out of this demonic, toxic malignancy system. And they are true heroes. And most people are like, well, you know, we got to get them back into school. And vaccines are, safe and effective. And I trust the government. I mean, my God, if ever there was no reason to trust this nation state, just look at the last 50 years.
These poor kids that are the same age as her, man, these poor kids, that some of them that have had the vaccines, they just have that 1,000-yard stare. They're behind in growth, development, you know, not to talk crap about them. But, man, these poor kids, they're in a lot of pain and agony that they can't even communicate to their parents. And really this deficiency is really personalized by the family and the victims instead of the perpetrators. And this really needs to be brought to attention because this is criminal.
And, you know, the getting back to the mass shootings for a second, I found this compilation of statistics. The 24 years under Reagan, Bush Sr., Clinton, and Bush Jr., total mass shootings of only 66. And then when you get the traitorous pillow biter Obama, 2014, 277 mass shootings, 2015, 332 mass shootings, 2016, nearly 300 mass shootings. And then you get Trump and it dropped back down to 10 or 12 or 15 again. And now that Biden and the globalists, the communitarians are back in charge, all of a sudden you're getting one a day. And the best one was yesterday when this young individual attacked and ran over a couple of D.C. cops right in front of the Capitol. And all of a sudden, the lying globalist media, oh, my God, it was done by Whitey. We got to blame Whitey. And it turns out it was a young Negro named Noah Green who did it. So it's just such an op. It's such a complete op. And
well, Giuseppe, if I could add something to what you're saying. You know, I was just watching a clip on the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream news about this so-called, you know, guy that crashed his car. And but what they said on the news is that he crashed his car into a barrier and then got out and lunged at one of the cops with a knife and stabbed him. They didn't say anything about running anyone over. And I'm thinking, how does someone crash into a barrier, get out of their car, and then have enough time to lunge into a cop without being shot first? It's absurd. The story doesn't add up in any way. Exactly. And the other little tidbit that came out about him is that supposedly he's a follower of Islam. Oh, and so they're really trying to resurrect this, ISIS Islamic threat again Syrian. Now. That was the other guy. The other guy was a Syrian.
That well, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's obvious. It's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wanted to blame that one on Whitey too, by the way.
They did. Yeah.
They're playing 3-1 on a Chinaman comes next.
Yeah. So Lars, you know, just a minute ago you mentioned UFOs, and I'm just curious what your take is on the subject. It's something I'm quite fascinated by, and it's a conundrum. It's a very difficult question to answer. But what is your take on, UFOs? How many of them do you think are actually simply built on planet here using reverse engineering? And as to the rest, where do you think they're coming from, or how many different, civilizations are coming here? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that most of the visuals that the people are getting when it comes down to observing a UFO is probably more than likely reverse engineered tech or ours. Not every one of them, but I would say about 90%. I'd say high percentage. At this point, I think there's plenty of psyops going on to a point where the skies are infiltrated with all kinds of things to keep you busy and distracted. When it comes down to other life forms and other intelligence and other beings, I think that they are becoming more cloaked insofar as the way they're observing and way they're interacting. And that would be in more iridescent formulas where their craft, what I call their craft, which is more symbiotic, would be very very undetectable, even with the best technology, to my opinion. I would say they're coming from different space-time, different space-time configurations, and not necessarily local, like not too local. So we're dealing with things that are more interconnected into the galactic highway, that know how to traverse the galactic highway. And of course, that is coming in through our own intent, through our own connections, through our own psychic energies, who we are when we do any type of exploration, our own consciousness. We're bringing in our divine celestial heritage. We bring in these beings as well. So I see that. I say a lot of the time I see that. But nowadays, you know, if you see people out there who can do something on a command and all of a sudden you see a bunch of ships coming in, I would say probably reverse engineered. I mean, when I'm talking about people like CE5, no offense, but it just reeks of something strange with intelligence communities to me. So that's my two cents on that one.
Who's CE5?
That's Dr. Stephen Greer and the lot. You know, they're doing all their little meditations together, you know, but he has so many intelligence communications. He's so connected to these intelligence communities that you just can't trust some of the data because it's too compromised in the sense that he gets his feed from them. He utilizes it. He controls the narrative. No offense to him. I mean, I'm not trying to be, but I've caught his data being dovetailed into the work that in the induction I went through in 2004, which I only knew about with the Merkaba. And yet he was talking about it. Like, how would he get that intelligence? I never spoke about it unless he knew about it through somebody else in the intelligence community is my point. So I kind of look at people a little bit sideways when it comes down to what they're up to with the UFO community these days.
Oh, yeah. I've been suspicious of Stephen Greer for a long time myself. First of all, that he just has a strange vibe when you see him speak. He emanates an odd frequency to me that I just don't like. And the idea that the federal government is going to somehow disclose what they've been up to, it's never going to happen because if they let that cat out of the bag, the whole thing, it would completely change the paradigm in every way. And I just don't think that'll ever happen because it's such a multi-layered set of knowledge that I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he's leading people down a false dead end, frankly.
Right. Yeah, it's the pumpkin patch again. Well, it's a universal war crime. Remember that the stuff they've been doing, not only is it obfuscation, there's some criminal activity, big criminal activity associated with their UFO, you know, cover-ups. So we're dealing with a lot of things that are like, you open that can of worms and you really start, they don't want to disclose that because there's been psychological operations going on and people being inducted and extracted into military. What's that?
Oh, sorry. Limited hangout. Yeah, it's like limited hangouts.
Yeah. But my point is, yeah, they've been extracted into programs. I mean, this is a criminal activity that's been going on for a long time. To deceive the masses to this scale and under the guise of national security is a disservice to everyone here. And that's what's been going on. And they say it's under the guise of national security. Well, we are, like I said, we are co-creators of the cosmos in a sense of our divinity. I'm not just talking about the biosphere. I'm talking about our spiritual design. We have a right and to be part of that equation and have the truth revealed to us at all times. And we have the truth. We don't need them. We're not waiting for them to disclose anything. We know they're lying. My point is that we don't want them inhibiting us anymore. We're tired of this crap. I don't want to be subjected to their programs. I'm sick of it. I've been through enough. And even down to the psyops that they're running on the masses right now because they can get away. They do it because they can, because nobody on this world is stopping them. That's what's the saddest part of all is. All these military personnel on a global scale, all these countries, and not one will step it up. Not one.
Why do you think that is?
They're all compromised or brainwashed or afraid. But I'm telling you right now, they're doing a disservice to themselves, to their own societies, to their cultures, and to their futures. And they don't even know it. They're too brainwashed and too afraid.
There's no running from this. I mean, this is not something you can run from. Safety has often been the alibi of tyrants. You know, you got to think about that.
They're not here to save anybody, and we all know that. It's more about dissection and control manipulation. Like I said, I think there's a real sadistic side to them, you know, just by the way they operate. They don't really seem to give a damn.
No, they are
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look what they're doing to the children. You know, their little kids are having their childhood stolen from them, and I can't even imagine growing up wearing a mask and being afraid of your fellow classmates. I commend Chris for keeping his child away from this and hopefully completely out of the public school system, because it's going to be nothing but fear training and casting fear on each other. Like, you might be carrying the virus. I can't get near you. I have to stay in my little plexiglass cubicle and wash my hands 25 times a day to be safe, you know?
Or Dave, your kid can't come to school till they're vaccinated. How about that? Oh, yeah. That's even worse.
Absolutely.
You know, that's like putting a gun to somebody's head, man. That's just disgusting. And this is more than criminal, because this is not even a vaccine. This is not even, like I said, safety is the alibi of tyrants. This is nothing. There's nothing safe about this. They're not keeping you safe from anything that your body wouldn't keep yourself safe from on its own, and probably do better with not having this injection of an abundance or an overabundance of toxins, in addition to, you know, what, adjuvants and RNA recombinants and Lord knows whatever else, nanotech. I mean, Bill Gates can barely keep a virus off your computer. You think he's gonna be able to do it in your bloodstream? That's crazy.
Well, and plus your frequency can heal your body. You know, we understand the frequency heals viruses. So you're dealing with, also remember, the cosmic frequencies as well. We calibrate to those fields of energy in the cosmos.
Do that?
So they're And my point is that they're just completely compromising people. But it's like I said, it's a self-destruct sequence on their end.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of alternative healing methods that are very much more effective than what we're seeing from the Rockefeller Board of Medicine. And these things are just laughed out of the room by these people, but they're secretly practiced by the 1%. They know about this stuff. They just don't want us to use it.
Well, it's not their legacy either. It's not their heritage. It's actually our heritage. It's not theirs. They stole it. This is my point. These are the imposters. This is why it's like, take your crowns back, everybody. Seriously.
You know, according to some information I've come across, the cure for cancer was fully developed back in the 1950s and sequestered away from the public, and kept in a vault in the Rockefeller Foundation's buildings in Chicago. And that's from a pretty credible source. So they've kept so many things from humanity that would transform our civilization.
100 miles to a gallon out of catalytic converter.
The need not to be in fear about all these boogeyman diseases that we're supposed to be afraid of and that are killing, you know, millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Cy War of the Worlds. Remember how that worked, right? Remember H.G. Wells? How did they kill the terrestrial, the virus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. It's just a game they're playing. It's really a game, but it's not a funny game. It's a war crime.
Yeah. I could cure COVID in 20 seconds. Go to your window, open it, grab your TV, throw it out.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Go ahead, Giuseppe.
You know, there's this excellent book called Alien Intelligence. And on page 108, I found it fascinating. You described the red tablet. So tell us about the red tablet.
Oh, that's the one I remote viewed. Yeah. It is what it is, but at the same time, it's something that's very much connected to off planet. So I was able to access this particular tablet, and it was interesting because I was remote viewing it, and I just looked at the I couldn't recognize what it was insofar as the language, but it kept going on and on and on, and it was very, very lengthy, very long, and it just seemed like this big red tablet was infinite insofar as a very large size of. I just kept going, like I was just reviewing it, but it was very, very long. So I started decoding and looking into that, and I understood the connection to the extraterrestrial design work, but something very significant, which I put in my book just because I've never remote viewed anything like that before, and I know it's not from here, and to me it was significant, so I put it in my book.
Do you think it has something of the same, now not clearly apples to apples, but something along the lines of like the Akashic records, when you were remote viewing something that is like a higher level of knowledge that only a few can access?
I think you have a point there. I think it has a historical benchmark on a cosmic scale and very significant. And I wanted to remember as best I could what it was.
That's so
a database
cool.
of some kind, yes.
Yeah, very cool. You know, Scorpio, to harken back to your point, is they being the malignancy that controls this planet, has suppressed many cancer cures. There's Royal Rife's effort. There's different, sonic efforts. There's the Royal Rife, the light technology. There's they sat on the cannabis as a cancer healer for a century.
Yeah.
And so, exactly. Yeah, the dude down in the enzyme guy in Houston, Amy. His stuff is really fascinating. I mean, essentially, it's really sad that, two days ago, we went from like 80 to 40, had a little bit of a cold snap blow in here in the District of Criminals. And 2 days ago, we're out walking our three huskies It's beautiful, like 3:30 in the afternoon. It's 80, the sun's shining. And all of a sudden across the street, I see four big young teens, probably age – well, if they were 16, they would have driven. So they had to be 14 or 15. They're carrying a basketball. They're going to play basketball at the local park. And all four of them are wearing masks. And three of them had on the cheap mask from China with the little black parasites in it or Morgellons, whatever the hell's crawling around on those things. And I'm like, oh, my God. That is the future of this country.
Well, your safety
and,
right there.
Yeah.
No prana, no life force. I mean, literally, there's no chi, no energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Snuffing the life force right out of them.
Before they even have it.
Unbelievable.
It's terrible. It's so criminal. This is so criminal. These guys literally, they need to face punishment for this because this can't slide. There's a Rubicon in terms of the social contract that has been not only crossed, but this has been assaulted. This is beyond assault. This is a full spectrum attempt at dominance. And if people don't see it for this, then you don't belong on the battlefield, really.
Yeah.
It's an act of war. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Right, and it's fifth generational warfare, so they're conquering this country without firing a shot. You know, they're conquering the mind, they're conquering the spirit, they're conquering the heart. It's sad. It's really how can anybody be so stupid as to not look at the body of evidence from the OSHA, from the CDC, from the Lancet Medical, the New England Journal of Medicine, everyone said only wear masks if it's required for your occupation or you're in a pollution area or you're in a sandstorm. Other than that, it's not healthy to wear a mask. And and the people who do that, those breathers, you know, they're keeping them alive if you're spray painting or you're doing whatever. And so,
OSHA said that too.
Well, exactly.
OSHA said that too, yeah.
And all of a sudden, the reality and forensic evidence and real science goes out the window. You got to wear a mask. And they just build on these fictional narratives, and then they do the whole communitarian thing that our friends Lark and Nikki Rapana they're the daughter who's Nordica and Brian and Jenna, they all point out that there's this unbelievable evil of the combination of Zio usury, parasitism, and Bolshevik communism. They call it communitarianism. It's like the boot on your throat is now a fuzzy bunny slipper, and everybody's got a hug, and that bizarre demon Hillary Clinton talked about. It takes a village to raise a child. Like, no, it doesn't. The family should raise a child. And that's what they're all about now. They're convincing you the state knows better than your own heritage, your own family lineage. I mean, there's so much knowledge that these young shitheads are ignoring from their own grandparents, their great-grandparents. And now they park these old people in a warehouse called their old age home. It's just so evil. It sickens me. Oh, let me turn that into a question.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's just insane. And oh, I know where I was going. And the latest pithy statement is, I don't wear this mask to protect me. I wear it to protect you. Like, oh, let's all hug. It's just like
sign of weakness.
Yeah, it gets me in the feels. Right. Jeez. Yeah.
And we don't need any protection from them. We don't need any protection from anybody.
Right.
It is a sign of weakness. It's very sad that so many people are falling for it.
We're coming to the last
few minutes of the show. I just wanted to briefly ask you, Solaris, have you looked into Antarctica and what might be going on there? You know, there's an international treaty where nobody can fly over it. Access to it is extremely controlled. I just wondered if you've looked into that and what do you think's going on down there?
I touch on it a little bit in my books. I do know about jump points insofar as what's happening beyond the scale of what people seem to think with giants and this and that in underground areas. There's definitely access points connected to off planet, which means we can navigate off planet and actually it would be easier to traverse the galactic highway from those points versus here. or where they're, you know, deliberately doing their manufactured space program. So I'm looking at it on that level. There's also what I call spaceports there, in a sense of a lot of other types of beings that are accessible or easily accessible when it comes down to kind of a connection where unity comes in. I want to say a spaceport because it seems like all different kinds of life forms can connect in at that point down there. So I see a lot going on with it, anti-gravity and zero point as well, like a natural field of zero point, natural field of anti-gravity. And to me, I'm very attracted to that area. I'd like to explore it more if I could get down there in the right area, not just in a boat somewhere touring. But yeah, I see it as a big deal. And this is why there's been that cloaking and obfuscation, because it's the closest access point to where we can go into and traverse the cosmic design, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, you know, there's even a clip of Admiral Byrd, who ran Operation High Jump back in the late 1940s, talking about how they actually, that there's hidden worlds that are there. There's an access or openings to hidden worlds in Antarctica that are warm with, you know, trees and jungles and all this sort of stuff. That's even on YouTube. And that maybe that's just an opening into another, you know, plane of existence, but
I was just grabbing a link from somebody and it wasn't muted. Go ahead. Yeah, that stuff's fascinating, Scorpio. Your thoughts, Solaris?
No, I agree with you on that one. There's also the multidimensional aspects of it. Once again, the fields and the energy and the different types of spheres that are eclipsing this particular world. I do find that whole operation, High Jump, whatever it was, very interesting on a lot of different levels, especially when it comes down to the exotic technology and the type of war that went on, or at least exchange, let's say, and the idea behind the Nazis or pseudo-Nazis trying to break orbit and get out of here. There was a reason behind them wanting to leave. There's no doubt about that one. And they were chased way, way over there to some degree. And also the technology was something they wanted as well. So I look at it a really multi-layered deal, you know, when it comes down to what's really there and the remnants. But to me, a lot of them are off planet. I mean, they made it. They got out.
Yeah, that's interesting. And the concept of the so-called, you know, Nazis were working on, you know, setting up some kind of, well, they did set up a base there, actually. And the idea that they, you know, had discovered anti-gravity technology as early as the 1930s, there's quite a bit of evidence to support that theory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, the National Socialists of Germany completely rejected Einsteinian physics, you know, for a variety of reasons. And they believed that that was all fantasy, and that the ether was sort of the master key in being able to access this sort of technology.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. Yeah, free energy is everywhere. It's just about accessing it and tuning and dialing into the field, whether it's through consciousness or through a technological device of some kind. Ancient artifacts would have access to that osmosis-related, you know, frequencies and how they adapt to other fields of energy. So I'd say, yeah, it's amazing to me the type of technological breakthroughs we've had, and even they had, which was phenomenal. Of course, they were a threat. That's where the threat really comes in, is the technology itself and what they were capable of doing. And we inherited that, a lot of it. So did other countries, but we took a lot of it.
Oh, sure. Along with the scientists and the actual machinery. Absolutely. No question. Well, we're down to like the last literally 4 or 5 minutes. So I just want to give everybody a chance to make a final thought. But briefly, I just want to also mention that please, everybody listening, take the time to come aboard freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Come aboard and become a Patreon member. Support this bastion of free speech, because we all know free speech is under attack like never before. It's really incredible, the attack on our ability to think the way we want to think and speak the way we want to think. And I believe that Revolution Radio stands alone. So become a Patreon member or scroll down to the bottom of the front page on revolution.radio. And there's actually a physical address where you can mail in donations as well. So that said, let's have final thoughts. And Solaris, I really want to thank you for your time in coming on. This has been such a great conversation.
Pleasure.
I really enjoyed it. Giuseppe,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Giuseppe, why don't you give us final thoughts, please?
Well, my final thought is that if you don't look inside yourself and find the courage to fight for everything that is decent, you know, your family, your community, the white tribe, which is we are under attack. And when you look at the numbers in the world, we are the real attacked minority. We are the real minority. And it's just insane that that we can, we could easily have a civil society and a civil world if it wasn't for this Talmudic malignancy through its bizarre spell of usury that controls everything. And I would say that it's time to wake up, or you're not going to have anything to wake up to. And I would also say Friday nights, midnight, KCR.com is Solaris's show. Saturday nights, tonight on Rev Radio Studio A. Awesome show. I'll be tuning in.
Great. Okay. Great thoughts. Solaris, please give us your final thoughts. And again, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I want to thank all of you. It's been awesome as always. And I want to thank everybody for listening to us as well. And please donate if you feel guided. But yeah, I agree with Giuseppe and all of you in a sense of snap out of the dream. I mean, break out of this spell that everybody's been under. It's really about your multidimensional blueprint and your design work that is imperative that you get on board with who you really are as a galactic being. It goes way beyond the linear world and start moving beyond their method of control.
Yeah, let's wake up from their dream and create our own dream. Great point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Chris, why don't you take us out, man? Give us your final thoughts. Let her rip, baby.
Yeah, final thoughts. I'll make it quick because I got 2 hours to give them more. I'll say that we're not facing an invisible enemy. I think the enemy is very visible.
Yep. Wow, that was brief. That's it.
He's right.
That's it, brother. Back to you.
Okay, great. Well, so we got about 2 minutes left. Yeah, I'm just really pleased with how this conversation went. And maybe next time we speak, we could go deeper into this idea of Antarctica and what's going on there. It's the most secretive place in the world in a lot of ways. And you've got this international treaty. And of course, it's all under the guise of, you know, the environment. But, you know,
right.
There's so much going on there that I would just like to dig a little deeper into that next time we talk, if you're mm-hmm. up for it.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to do that. I'm working on some projects that I'm not talking about on air yet, but I'm happy to probably by that time I'll get into more details with you. So yeah, we can go into other levels and onto other levels. Yeah.
Oh,
thank you again. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Lots of fun. I thought we went pretty deep today. That was excellent. And I guess my final thought is, yeah, we got to wake up from their dream and create our own dream, because this dystopic future that they plan on creating for us is
nightmare.
Nothing that any of us want to live in. And it's sort of it'll mark the end of advanced higher self experiences. They want to just keep this thing at a mid to low level and very flat. Everyone's the same. Everyone's equal. And that's not how the universe is designed. It's not part of God's creation. And, you know, and I believe that there's multiple creators. There's an actual class of beings that actually create reality as we know it. And there's mm-hmm. there is a hierarchy in that sense for sure.
Great. Well, there's creation co-creators. We're co-creators too. You know, we co-create.
If you control the past, you control the future, right? So, I mean, basically take control, know your past, and you can take control of your future, I guess, too, right? Don't fall into the trap.
Yeah, we are co-creators. That's true, Chris. And, yeah, we are co-creators, and our beliefs and our actions create reality. It's not just the parasitical elite that do it. We do it, and we need to take back our power and stop trusting these people. Stop the near fetus bullshit. It's all.